Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, my friends, and I am going to attempt to cover all of this news in the first hour today. It is all accelerating, intensifying. No, you're not imagining things. The world is getting crazier and crazier by the minute. Nomi Prinz, former high-level managing director with Goldman Sachs, will be joining us to break down what's happening in the global economy. Big developments there. Alfred Adask, a patriot, a publisher of the anti-shyster publication, demonized by a 60 Minutes hit piece, basically implying anybody who questions anything the federal government does needs to be arrested. He'll be joining us coming up in the third hour today. Now, that said, in the stacks of news I have here, every one of these articles is earth-shaking. And this just broke right before I went on air. It's Bloomberg. We're going to get this up on Infowars.com. In fact, I'm going to get Paul Watson on the phone. He should do a blurb on this because we don't just need to post a link to the Bloomberg article and a paragraph or two of it for posterity to prove that it did happen in case they remove it. But we need to point out that a week ago, Pakistan said any U.S. aircraft now, helicopters, coming in over their airspace will be fired upon. And there's two different reports. Either the U.S. helicopters open up first or the Pakistani military opened up first. But this is how World War III starts. This is a nuclear power with mutual aid pact with China. And these people do not play games, okay? The Pakistanis do not play games. Americans are so used to being able to basically see successful wars against the Arabs. Not that the Arabs don't have courage, they're just historically not very well organized. Pakistanis are a completely different ballgame and will go to war just like that. And the Pakistani troops have bent over backwards, their military has. They let over 1,000 drones bomb the daylights out of whoever they want in the country. But the Pakistani government said last week, and the president, prime minister said, if you fly helicopters in here unauthorized again, we're going to open up on you. And here is Bloomberg. I've also got the North Georgia Times. I've got the Associated Press here. AP headline, NATO helicopter attacks Pakistani army post. NATO attacked the military. According to AP, they're saying NATO attacked the Pakistani military emplacement base. Here's Bloomberg. Pakistani troops, NATO helicopters clash at border. And we just got General Hamid Ghul on the horn, former head of Pakistani intelligence, three-star general, former tank commander himself when he was just a captain in that long war with the Indians of the disputed Kashmir region. This is some serious, serious news. And I was all ready to go with the other news I've got. Just the news today of the police state. Police publicly pulling people over, stealing the cash out of their wallets, and saying they're doing it. More public schools watching kids over government-issued laptops at home. Courts, Supreme Court of the U.S. now ruling there's no Fourth Amendment. Police videos everywhere of them arresting people that videotape cops. The cops will come over cussing and just punch them in the face. I mean, the government has gone completely insane. And they've given the green light to hire thugs. And I'm sorry that makes good cops look bad, but definitely the system has given the cops the order to try to intimidate the American people. And as Dr. Pachinik said, that's not going to work. It's actually going to... You can feel it in your gut, folks. Everything's coming to a head. It's just going to get more insane. I'm going to try to break it all down on the other side, but... NATO attacking Pakistan now? I mean, this war is about to start.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This just broke in the last 30 minutes. Associated Press headline, NATO helicopter attacks Pakistani army post. Bloomberg headline, Pakistan troops, NATO helicopters clash at border. What's the backstory on this? More than 1,000 drones are operating, run by the Army and the CIA. Each group has over 500. Operating in Pakistan, bombing and killing whoever they want. And we can pull up the headlines. Anybody can. NATO and U.S. now targeting no-name terrorists. They just see you with a gun in Pakistan, running around in the woods, and they kill you. And they bomb weddings. They'll kill hundreds of people to, quote, get one terrorist, and they say that's good collateral damage. And this is designed to destabilize Pakistan. Pakistan has been run by Western-backed dictators for a long time. Benazir Bhutto got into office, didn't go along with it, even though she was former MI6. And they, of course, killed her when she went public and said that bin Laden had been killed and that our government was staging events. Major Pakistani newspapers in the last 2 days are reporting that the West is running al-Qaeda inside the country and is planning to blame it on the Pakistani government. They cite the U.S. CIA agent caught trying to give chemical, biological, and radiological weapons to their Taliban front groups to be, again, blamed on Pakistan. That's a big part of this bin Laden raid. Domestically, it's about setting up a bigger police state, putting out new terror alerts, kicking off Obama's reelection campaign, posing as our savior. But internationally, it's about moving towards the excuse to attack Pakistan and say, oh, look, they were protecting Osama bin Laden. And there's now no doubt that that is where this is headed with the nuclear power. Extremely, extremely dangerous news. Now, remember on May 5th, a week and a half ago, Pakistan Army warns U.S. not to stage more raids. And then a few days later, their prime minister came out and said that if more helicopters came in unauthorized, that they would be resisted. And so those reports are there for anyone that would like to read them. And the saber rattling is now intensifying and moving into actual violence. This is the Associated Press headline, NATO helicopter attacks Pakistani army post. This is how wars start, my friends. And it says, Dur is Mail Khan, Pakistan AP, a NATO helicopter attack a Pakistani army post near the Afghan border today, injuring two soldiers and further increasing tensions following the U.S. raid that killed Osama bin Laden, Pakistani officials said. And the Germans did this for about 6 months before they went ahead and attacked Poland, is they would have these skirmishes and fire on people, and then finally they just stage an attack on a German base at Gliwice. And then they had newsreels out saying, how dare the Poland attack us? And they, again, dressed up some concentration camp victims in German and Polish uniforms, shot them, shot newsreel footage of it, and that's all declassified and on record. And it was how World War II started with the invasion of Poland. And that's exactly what NATO and the people that have hijacked our country, these big foreign banks, were doing, moving towards. And remember, Cheney, later got leaked and then declassified, did orchestrate with the dictator minion, the dictator-elect, with those staged elections in Georgia, the sneak attack on Russian-held South Ossetia and Abkhazia. And the Russians responded by invading to repulse the attack and then rolled nuclear weapons in. And their chairman, Joint Chiefs, went on television and said, we're preparing to use nuclear weapons on NATO if the NATO aircraft landing with NATO troops did not pull out. And the United States and NATO and Israel was also involved, blinked, and pulled the troops out immediately. Again, ladies and gentlemen, the globalists are very crazy. I mean, they're powerful, they're intelligent, they're smart, but at the same time, they're nuts. They're crazed, like Dominique Strauss-Kahn, I mean, you can believe one story's fake, but two, three, four, five now. Prestigious reporter saying he goes wild like a chimpanzee. He starts ripping clothes off. This is standard procedure for these people. By the way, the con news is coming up. It does look like that he's been protected all these years and the protection's been removed. It's pointing towards the fact that it looks like he's probably guilty. But this is a setup. The AP, the Daily Mail, all the big French papers are reporting that top spin doctors that work for Sarkozy and one of his aides had Twittered the arrest before it even happened. And that's been confirmed. You see, that's kind of like with Kennedy in New Zealand, Australia, and Thailand. Before Lee Harvey Oswald was even apprehended and before his name was released, they did print that Lee Harvey Oswald had shot Kennedy. Within just an hour or so, that was back during the days when we didn't have internet and major cities around the world had sometimes 10, 15 newspapers per city, and they had special editions that would come out. And so they reported within an hour or so of Kennedy being killed that it was Lee Harvey Oswald. And he was being arrested right around that time, being picked up. So we're not sure if it was right after or right before. The point is he was coming out of the theater. And that's on record. It's like Building 7, where CNN 1 hour before, but Aaron Brown lived in New York, and he goes, Building 7, the Solomon Brothers building, has fallen into its own footprint. He looks behind him, he goes, at least that's the report we're getting. But BBC didn't really know New York as well, so BBC 24, this is all on record. This is in Terror Storm. We cover it all. History of government-sponsored terror. BBC 24 and BBC World in the same minute read the same teleprompter message that the Solomon Brothers Building 7 had fallen into its own footprint from fires with the building right behind the reporters in both newscasts. And BBC first came out for a year and said that that video wasn't real, which was asinine, on two different channels released by the BBC archive. Then they put out a TV special and admitted, yes, it was our footage, and Reuters, and I'd predicted that because Reuters is their main internal feed, had given them an internal feed that Building 7 had fallen into its own footprint from fires and the whole official story. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the evidence of the setup. How did one top aide and then Sarkozy's top spin doctor, as he's described, his Karl Rove, his David Gergen. How did his David Gergen, his Karl Rove, put this out before he was even arrested, we now learn? They said he's been picked up, he's been arrested, and it turns out that was as the police were about to get to the airport. I mean, this is within 30 minutes of this going on. This is unbelievable. No news, they knew. And now they're saying, well, we had informants in the hotel. I bet you did. I bet you had informants in a New York hotel. Before it's on the news, this is happening. And again, we've got all those articles linked on prisonplanet.com. That is coming up. Doesn't mean Khan is innocent. But these guys order hookers like regular folks go to the refrigerator and pour a glass of milk. I would say as often as normal people order a pizza, but most folks only order a pizza every 2 weeks. It's been said that prostitutes in D.C. are as ubiquitous as water fountains. And that's what rich men in this country do. I mean, if you go to Georgetown in D.C. and eat at a decent restaurant, there is the cream of American beauties there. And they're going out and getting in limos with Secret Service there. And if you try to walk out and film it, they will get in your face in a minute. The Secret Service is mainly there for the top people in government to protect the prostitutes and make sure the media. We've got footage of them disgorging prostitutes at the Watergate. And Secret Service runs over. We've got that footage and starts screaming at us saying, you turn those cameras off right now. You're not going to film this. And they put the cameras down and in went the hookers. And whole floors of the Watergate have the gambling, have the prostitutes. I mean, it's like Valhalla for these men there in D.C. But how did I get off into a story about prostitutes? I forget where that was. I forget where that was going. It's just that we have a very, very corrupt system. And now we have, I was talking about con. And I'm going to break that down at the 33 after. But in the next segment, I'm going to get into this. NATO helicopter attacks a Pakistani army post near the Afghan border today, injuring two soldiers and further increasing tensions following the U.S. raid that killed Osama bin Laden, Pakistan officials said. A similar event last year in which two Pakistani soldiers were killed prompted Pakistan to close for over a week a key border crossing that NATO uses to ship supplies into landlocked Afghanistan. Yeah, this is just the Cold War against Pakistan and positioning Pakistan to be ready to go to war with the United States and NATO. And the pretext for special forces to be delivered, disgorged to the dispersed thermal nuclear weapon system of Pakistan. I've seen estimates of 25, 50 or more nukes. Israel's got 800 conservatively. China, of course, has got thousands. This is just an absolute disaster. And you've heard General Hamid Ghul here on the radio broadcast, and you've seen the current prime minister say that China is backing them. And the globalists did try to test out Russia. And some good old boys send me emails and say, well, aren't you pro-America? Let's have war with Russia and China. What, after we shipped all our jobs to China? The people running America want to bleed us out, bleed them out. These are international banks who've got private bunkers and private security details who are wanting to play God. And when they're not raping women or, you know, dallying with prostitutes, they're planning World War III. You got that? Well, it's a big, big deal to have NATO helicopters, according to AP, open fire on another Pakistani emplacement and to continue to enter Pakistani airspace. This is being done to prod the Pakistanis into doing something stupid. It's very, very simple. And it's very, very dangerous. NATO coalition spokesman Lieutenant Colonel John Duran confirmed there were helicopters flying near the Pakistan border Tuesday and that there was an incident the alliance was investigating, he said. A Western military official said the incident started before dawn when a NATO base in Afghanistan received intermittent direct and indirect fire from a Pakistan side of the border. Two helicopters flew into the area to provide support, one of which fired across the border after twice receiving fire from the Pakistani side, said the official, speaking of condition and anonymity because of the sensitivity of the issue. The Pakistani army said in a statement that its troops fired on the helicopter after it entered Pakistan airspace in the early hours of the morning. Two of its troops were injured when the helicopter returned fire, it said. The attack took place in Datal Kel area of North Waziristan tribal region. The area is known for a sanctuary for Taliban and Al-Qaeda militants and has been targeted repeatedly by U.S. drone airstrikes. NATO is saying they're still trying to determine if they crossed the border, if the helicopter did. I wonder if they crossed the border a few weeks ago with the whole Osama bin Laden fable. And I notice we've got a report up at prisonplanet.com where they're now adding a satellite dish to the top of bin Laden's compound and then shooting new photos of that so that they can hype it up and claim that that's how he was commanding the worldwide Al-Qaeda forces. Satellite dish added to bin Laden compound after dubious videos released by the White House. And the satellite dish wasn't there before, but now they've gone and added one to play along with that entire delusional situation. This is a guy with no internet, no nothing, they first told us, running all these attacks. And he's got a million-plus pages of documents, but they kill him instead of grabbing the greatest intelligence asset ever. But more and more mainstream news articles come out. There was one in The Current last night pointing out that, wow, we went around the college. It's a college newspaper, and Most of the people we talked to didn't believe the official story. I mean, no one that I talk to believes it. People say, why'd they throw the body in the ocean? Why'd they kill him if he didn't resist? Why'd they change the story so much? Why'd they put out the fake White House Situation Room photos? It just goes on and on. Some of the other news I'm going to attempt to cover when we come back from break is really the huge news that's out. U.S. outlines global plan for cyberspace. You see, it's a global plan with all the major Western governments and governments that are financed with foreign aid, with U.S. and European tax money. And when they're given the foreign aid, they then have to agree to let X, Y, and Z corporation come in to adopt certain unified systems so that there's a global standardized kill switch. In fact, I saw a CNN headline yesterday, corporations install kill switches. In fact, will you guys put me that CNN headline up? I want to give the exact headline. I know it's in a link to it's in the text section also of Infowars.com, or is it in the police state section? And it's media. Mainstream media admitting that there's kill switches being put in. There's the headline, why gadget makers wield a kill switch. And so because myself and others have been exposing this, now the tech sites and the tech areas of CNN are having to come out and say, yeah, this is why they do it, and they give all these excuses. In fact, I'm going to cover some of that later. Please print that or pull it out of the earlier stack. That's important. But there it is, a kill switch. Now, here's the Associated Press. U.S. outlines global plan for cyberspace. And all the new devices already have it. The satellite triangulation systems off the cell towers, the location systems, the back doors to dial in. All the major software has back doors built in, so governments and private corporations. Most intelligence is now gathered by private corporations who can just get away with literal murder and lie and cheat and steal and make up whatever they want to then get government contracts. That's what this is all about. But they're now announcing this global takeover of the web with kill switches, which are really dual takeover switches. And we have this key 10-minute report that Rob Dew and I put together. Excellent work Dew did. Globalist secret weapons exposed. Tech kill chips. Folks are now ready to get the full story. Get that video out to everybody.
You can run on for a long time. Run on.
General Hamid Ghul is a retired Pakistani Army general known for heading the Inter-Service Intelligence, the premier Pakistani intelligence agency after the Soviet and during the Soviet-Afghan War. Hamid Ghul served as Director General of Pakistan's Inter-Services Intelligence from 87-89, mainly in the time of Benazir Bhutto, was Prime Minister of Pakistan. He was instrumental in the anti-Soviet support of the Mujahideen in the Afghanistan War, 79-89. He, of course, was involved in several of the big conflicts with India as a infantry commander. And I wanted to get him on because even Yahoo ran with the headline yesterday that the head of Pakistani intelligence currently has now come out and said the West is creating fake Taliban al-Qaeda, trying to give them chemical, biological, radiological weapons to then frame Pakistan. So what General Hamid Ghul said a few weeks ago here on air is now being said by the government itself. And we have the other news that I just covered. NATO helicopter attacks Pakistani Army post, Associated Press. Pakistani military says the helicopters came across the border. They opened up on them, but it's also being reported that the U.S. helicopters may have fired first, claiming they were being fired at from across the border, and that two Pakistani Army soldiers were injured, and Pakistan says this is of serious escalation. General Ghul, what you talked about a few weeks ago is beginning to unfold.
Yes, indeed, Alex. I think things are getting worse now because I think the American generals are showing an aptitude for brinkmanship, and they want to trash President Obama's plan to withdraw if he does wish to withdraw. I think the American people are overwhelmingly now looking at Afghanistan a lost cause, and that they should not spend even a bullet or a single life be lost there. But unfortunately, the generals and their backers there in the Congress, as well as in the media, they want to press on, and they want to open another front towards Pakistan. I don't know. This is a very critical time for the American policymakers. Now, we know that these Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan is being sponsored from across the Durand line from Afghanistan, where RAW, the Indian intelligence, and of course Mossad is also in collusion with them. And under the umbrella of the CIA, they are creating problems for Pakistan. They want to create, build a case against Pakistan that it is a failing state, and that a failing state which is under threat of increasingly the Taliban ingress, and therefore it must not possess the nuclear weapons. This is something which is going to be very dangerous, because it could very easily, if they try to play games with Pakistan, and let's say they actually come in for our nuclear assets, then it is going to trigger the Third World War, I'm afraid. I don't wish to go into detail of this, but I can tell you that it will ignite an inferno which will consume the entire region and may even trigger a Third World War, like I said. So this is the height of brinkmanship, and it is very unfair to the American people who want this money, $135 billion a year in Afghanistan. They want it to redress their imbalances in their economic system, and they are indebted to the tune of about $14.5 trillion. So it's very unfair to the people of Afghanistan, people of Pakistan, and most of all to the people of America, the way they are proceeding about the whole thing.
General Gould, for new radio listeners that just joined us, it is now in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, LA Times, that the core group launching attacks on Gaddafi and financed by British and U.S. intelligence, CIA commandos and MI6 commandos, is al-Qaeda. Our agents trained in the United States, the leader of the rebels for two decades. Here is Yahoo News and The Nation magazine. Even the Nation's own report, CIA's fake Taliban wrecking Pakistan terror havoc. Here's Yahoo News. CIA has created own Taliban to wreak havoc, terror havoc on Pakistan, claims Pakistan paper. And then when I read these articles, it's got the head of the Pakistani intelligence coming out now. And previously, I hadn't heard these type of incredible statements. We already knew the truth. It's hidden in plain view, and they caught the CIA guy. Now they're reporting with chemical, biological, and radiological, trying to get it to their al-Qaeda double agent CIA people. But it appears to be 100% clear. I'm getting chills talking about it. They're getting ready to try to frame Pakistan and launch some type of military attack on you. And the whole fake bin Laden situation, the killing of bin Laden a few weeks ago, is another way to try to frame Pakistan. What do you make of your government now coming out and being more public and seconding what you have said?
Yes, I've been saying that all along, Alex, and I, on your shows also, I've been mentioning this. But now I think the democratic government in Pakistan has come fully on the back of the military institutions. It has passed a resolution, and if it must be read carefully, because America values democracy, and it is the representative house which has passed a unanimous resolution, and it should not be taken lightly that Pakistan is a pushover. Pakistan is a very important country, very large country, and people of Pakistan are really angered and enraged against their own institution that they are not doing anything. So I think this charade must end now. This playing along of the military and the ISI along with the CIA's all dirty tricks, it has to come to an end, and I think people of Pakistan are going to take account of all these things, and you may find that America's line of supply may be cut off like it was done in the past for 10 days. One of the routes, only one of the routes, there are two routes which enter Afghanistan, and only one of the routes was blocked for 10 days, and they came because they ran out of the toilet papers and the mineral water and all the others. It's not going to be easy. I don't know why these generals, they are making such huge mistakes. They are being very impetuous about this. President Obama's administration, is showing enormous weakness. They have got to take a stand against their generals who are adventurous and they want to now go in for Pakistan. It will be a disastrous thing to happen.
General Gould, to be clear, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm reading this from U.S. papers, but Pakistan did pass a resolution, and your prime minister has said that if helicopters come in with another raid, they're going to basically be shot down. If that happens, then I would imagine that we know the Pentagon is basically trying to start a war with Pakistan, and we have this latest incursion firing on the military base. Can you briefly expand on that? And do you have intel basically to expand on your statement that U.S. generals are trying to continue the wars and trying to basically flee forward and force Obama to continue the wars trying to stir up trouble?
Exactly. They are provoking this conflict, unfortunately. They want to expand and open another front. They have opened front in Libya, and they have gone into it. All the Al-Qaeda members, as you were just mentioning, who were fighting in Iraq, now they are congregating in Libya. So what is this paradox? On the one hand, you are hunting for Al-Qaeda. On the other hand, you are supporting Al-Qaeda. This is a very strange policy which is being pursued. Same for Pakistan. Now, Pakistan has to be treated either as enemy or friend. Now, this is an strange situation, a very ambivalent situation, where Pakistan is being described now as friend as well as enemy. Now, this can't last very long. I think we are a nation of 180 million people. We are a nuclear power, and I can assure you that if they have any designs against our nuclear assets, then they will be making a very huge miscalculation. They must not play this dangerous game. So these generals are out of the control. They are straining on the leash to be launched against Pakistan. And this is not going to work. I can assure you this will be a very great, historic disservice to the people of America.
Well, sir, just a few final questions in the minutes we have left with you. The 2008 report that was leaked to Reuters, where the Bush administration had the plan floated by them, by McChrystal, to launch commando raids on the nuclear launch sites and nuclear weapons program of Pakistan. And, I mean, they've got to know that those forces would be destroyed. They've got to know that's impossible. So that would be a sacrificial gambit with a pawn to have Pakistan crush that pawn and then say we must avenge our troops. I mean, McChrystal was not insane, and Petraeus is not insane. They have to know that Pakistan has a giant, heavily trained military, and that those nuclear bases are heavily guarded, and that it would be a suicide mission. I mean, is this what they're trying to gear up for, or how else are they planning to try to start World War III?
Well, if they try to come in, they will have to attack almost 100 places in Pakistan, not at once, because Pakistan's nuclear assets are spread out. We have always been suspicious of America's design against our nuclear assets, and therefore we have taken good care of it, and our command control system is very good. If they have gotten encouraged because of their raid on Abbottabad, on so-called Osama's compound, and they think that they can repeat it against our nuclear weapons also, I think there could be nothing more harebrained than this particular idea. The sooner they disabuse themselves of this notion, the better it is for all of us.
Well, they're openly floating for now 3 years, special forces attacks on giant Pakistani military bases. I mean, you guys have gone to war with India, fighting a much larger force and basically beat them and backed them off. I mean, they're really asking. I mean, this is insane. Clearly, they know it's going to fail. Do you agree with me that that could be a plan to then say we must avenge the American soldiers that died on the raids? Because we know they're not going to succeed. I mean, if they go in, it's a suicide. Trying to go into heavily fortified bunker military bases with helicopters?
Not only that, they will not succeed and they will suffer a lot of casualties. But after that, withdrawal from Afghanistan will become virtually impossible. There is no Gulf of Tonkin adjoining Afghanistan where they could ferry their troops by helicopters to the waiting ships in the Gulf of Tonkin. Here they will have to go through Pakistan. And what will happen then is anybody's guess, and I can assure you, we will come full throttle as far as the American withdrawal is concerned. Then this is will become an impossibility. So they better not harbor these ideas. They have to withdraw. They have to provide relief to their own people. They are suffering because of economic deficit and shortfalls. They have to take care of the health problems, the health care, etc. We know the problem that America is suffering. So why now open another front? I don't know what has gone wrong. I think there is some very, very dark impulse which is driving them to this madness.
Well, yes, they want to open this up as a front to, I guess, entice China in. A lot of our inside sources say the insane elite that run our system are contemplating having a nuclear war with Russia and China right now, and that they just plan to trigger the whole thing in Pakistan. That's what a lot of our high-level sources are saying, General Gould. In closing, you talked to a lot of the Pakistani elite. You know, you're a three-star general, retired, former head of Pakistani intelligence, highly respected. You're all over international TV, not just Pakistan television. What are the Pakistani elite saying? Because from what I've seen, this is getting them out of the ambivalent, you know, trying to work with the West and bending over backwards, understanding that you better get on a war footing. And it seems to be hardening Pakistan ahead of what's coming. I mean, is that an incorrect summation? And do you see any way out of this?
No, I think they have got to. It depends on the political decision that President Obama has to take. And I think he should take this decision before or around 1st of June so that his troops start withdrawing, as he had promised, so starting from 1st of July, so that their families can celebrate the return of their troops on 4th of July, which is your national day. So I think this ought to be the concern of President Obama, not the other way around, that you get more engaged and go into deeper and deeper morass. Now, Pakistan is naturally, of course, the mood is very belligerent in Pakistan. We think that we have been terribly betrayed. We have been betrayed in the past, but not to the extent that we have been betrayed now. We have suffered hugely on account of this phony war against terrorism. And Pakistan is now getting closer and closer to China and to Russia. This is the first time that Pakistan has reached out to Moscow. This is amazing now because it is the doing of Americans, because a country like Pakistan, who's been such a staunch ally and who's done so much of service to American, being in the place where they are now, and if we are pushed into the lap of Russia and China wholly, I mean, we go whole hog to this camp, then this is going to be a very major upset for the American strategy.
It's almost like someone wants to destroy America. I mean, looking at this from a geopolitical purview and studying all the different angles and different permutations, it's horrible for the West. It's horrible for freedom. It endangers the entire planet, and the stratagem is clearly during this global depression to try to launch at least a major regional war. General Hamid Gul, thank you so much for spending time with us and adding your considerable gravitas and acumen to our overall analysis. Thank you, General.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Dominic.
All right, there goes General Hamid Gul. Folks, the globalists already tried to start World War III with the Russians, and cooler heads prevailed when the Russians rolled nukes in Georgia, and somebody told Cheney, knock it off, and they pulled the NATO troops out. Again, I'm an American, but the globalists want to position us in this primitive, simple-minded, one-dimensional thinking of, well, if you're for America, let's have nuclear war with China and Russia. Woohoo! And let's get them Pakistanis. Pakistan's been our ally, folks. I mean, this is insane. And they've got al-Qaeda brigades all running over to Libya, openly run by the criminals that run our government. Our government has been taken over by globalists who want to destroy America, who want to destroy our economy, and who want to get us into wars while they finance our destruction, and then they end up on top sitting over in Europe. And I told you this for years, because in the 30s, we got some of the numbers on the Federal Reserve and haven't gotten them since. But you can also go separately study the Federal Reserve U.S. members and then who really owns them. And I told you most of it, more than 70% is what many of our experts have broken down, Ron Paul and others, is owned by European banks. I'm not bashing people in France or Germany or England. It's not about them. It's about the parasitic bank system that runs them, runs us, and you know, I mean, the global bankers put Hitler into power, financed him, financed Stalin, set that whole thing up. That's part of historical record. Goaded Hitler, told him he'd have support invading. The King of England was pro-Hitler. That's why they had Rudolf Hess fly over and try to parachute in and with a peace treaty, and they locked him up with no trial. He was saying, we got a peace treaty with you. We got an agreement. We don't want to go to war with you. That was a deputy Fuhrer, like the vice president, flying over. I mean, they will bring in World War III to get their world government on its ashes. That was always the plan. World War I, League of Nations, World War II, UN, World War III, world government. And, man, this is such a dangerous time. We'll be right back.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls. You that hide behind disks.
You'll hide behind walls and desks.
I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks.
You that ever done nothing.
You that never done nothing.
Except kill and destroy.
But build to destroy.
You play with my world.
You play with my world.
Like it's your little toy.
Like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand. And you hide from my eyes. And you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old.
All right.
You lie in D.C.
Here's what I'm going to do. I have absolutely got to take phone calls. I want to take phone calls. But we've got Naomi Prinz on all the huge economic developments, former Goldman Sachs managing director joining us. Huge developments on that front. I've got the Dominique Strauss-Kahn situation, the fact that they are normally a globalist can rape whoever they want, kill people, and the police won't press charges, especially in New York City. I mean, that's New World Order Central. I mean, the feds can blow up buildings and say they blow them up, and the cops follow orders and say, yes, sir, we're going to say bin Laden did that. This is definitely, and that's what the French, almost to a person, are saying in their polls, believe it's a setup because he was set to beat Nicolas Sarkozy. Notice Strauss-Kahn is the socialist leader. A big banker, 3,000 a night hotel rooms. I didn't even know they had those. Every British, French Airways aircraft had to keep a seat open for him. By the way, you know U.S. tax money goes to the IMF. A lot of the bailout money went there. So that Dominique Strauss-Kahn can have 3,000 a night hotel rooms. But that's only the beginning. These people have created over $1,000 trillion in derivatives. We're going to be going over that. And we've got Alfred Adask, really well-spoken sovereign citizen, you could call him, publisher of the Annie Shyster magazine. Great work for decades. They did a really scary demonization piece, as you know, many of you, two nights ago on 60 Minutes, where they basically tell cops, if somebody is for the Bill of Rights and Constitution, they want to murder you. And they're your enemy, so we need to wage war against them. It's the mainlining of people that know their rights and aren't slaves and say no to the TSA sticking their hands down their pants or who are against the income tax, which you didn't have till 1913, that you're a terrorist. So that's all coming up. And just, again, I scan over the news, I read it, and then I don't get to a lot of it sometimes because it's all so shocking. I've spent most of the hour just on the incredible situation with Pakistan. But I do have a big stack of news dealing with the police state that really illustrates where we're at. Just some of the police state from today. This is every day I see stuff 10 years ago that would have been freaked everybody out. This is how we're being conditioned. But before I go to break and come back and start getting into all this news, I want to just remind all of our great listeners that we have a lot of wonderful sponsors out there that make this transmission possible. People like PureWaterFreedom.com. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit PureWaterFreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. They have a wide variety of filters to remove all types of toxins from your water, including shower and bath. All their filters are made in the USA. Check out their banners at Infowars.com or PureWaterFreedom.com to take control of your water supply today. And also, don't forget PrisonPlanet.tv. All my films are super high quality. This radio show streaming live in video, the archives of that, higher quality podcast, 15 cents a day, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There is a key article up on Infowars.com. It's red linked. It's titled "Globalist Secret Weapon Exposed, Tech Kill Chips." You know, we're getting 4 or 5 million views a week just on one of our YouTube channels. And we've got at least seven others, many of which are ours, other that are fan auxiliaries. So I'm not even counting that up. And that's good news for everybody. I mean, just on YouTube, because we're on AM and FM, XM, satellite, all that stuff. Global shortwave, 100,000 watts, reaching millions of people every day. But YouTube, every week we've got videos that are the top video in their section, sometimes top video period, that are getting 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900,000 views. And that is very exciting. It is very exciting. And much of what we have at PrisonPlanet.tv is then moved over to that because it's a general public service to try to get this information out. You do, of course, with the PrisonPlanet.tv membership, get the live streams, the archive of that, the expanded extras. We're about to start the TV show that will be there live for members on PrisonPlanet.tv every day, or at least 5 days a week. Then I'm thinking about even doing a best of every week. It's like an hour long, a media review show. And we're getting close to that, but that's why we have PrisonPlanet.tv. But that YouTube channel, almost everything is there, and it's free. You can subscribe there for free, and then have it all sent to you, though YouTube blocks most of our subscribers, we're told, from actually getting our updated videos, trying to, I guess, stop it from becoming viral. I've had to file in federal court twice to stop YouTube from deleting the channel with false claims that are put on it. There's whole groups that dedicate themselves to trying to shut it down, but it doesn't matter. Now so many other huge sites repost our stuff, they can't stop the signal overall. That's why we encourage everybody to repost our videos on their YouTube channels, because just the amplifying effect is off the charts. But this globalist secret weapon exposed, tech kill chips, is so important because we now have CNN yesterday. And I saw the headline on InfoWars because we posted, you know, a link to it in a couple paragraphs, a blurb. And I thought, oh, our guys must have changed the headline. You know, they do that sometimes. Why gadget makers wield a kill switch? And I saw that headline and thought, wow. And I clicked on the CNN article and that's their headline. And they kind of whitewash why it's being done. I mean, it's all federal mandate. But we're going to be covering that more later. And we have the other article out of AP that basically backs up that research. U.S. outlines global plan for cyberspace, a worldwide plan by financing governments to put these hubs in and the kill chips going in the new washers and dryers, dishwashers, computers. And I saw a host of other articles in CNET and other places yesterday going, oh, yeah, the new Intel chip's got a kill switch built into the main operating system, built into the core processors All these other systems rolling out with it. Remember John McCain 7 years ago? He said, if you download music illegally, we're going to kill your computer. People are like, that old idiot, he doesn't know how the internet works. You're not going to kill my computer. Oh, yeah, they are. Your computer's already got backdoors, kill switches all over it. Get that straight. This whole thing's DARPA NSA designed. But I want to get into the other police state news when we come back. That's why in this segment I didn't get into it yet. I want to run through just what is in front of me today. And then and this is only part of it, because I got police state news and all these other stacks. I mean, look at this folder of police state news that Alfred Adash sent us, he wants to cover. I'm not going to be able to read all that before we get Alfred on. But it's all coming up on the other side of this break. PrisonPlanet.tv and Forza.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, the Pentagon is trying to start World War III with Pakistan, with U.S. helicopters now, for the second time in the last 6 months, attacking a military base across the border in Pakistan. This time they didn't kill people, they just wounded them. I want to go over just the incredible police state stack today to illustrate how out of control the system is. Also, more on Dominique Strauss-Kahn and the latest developments on that front with the judge denying bail to IMF chief in sexual assault case. He's got to stay pretty much indefinitely in that New York jail. I saw the AP video when they opened the door up and they shot 15, 20 seconds of video inside the jail. It looked like what New York jail, the precinct I was kept in. They had skeleton keys to open the doors. It was over a 100-year-old jail. There was feces all over the ground, vomit, snot all over the walls. I'm sorry to get gross here. And moaning people and jail guards coming up and laughing at me and giggling like something out of a horror movie, who I don't think were operating with a full deck and probably had IQs of about 75. I mean, I thought one of the cops that came back was, I'm sad for him, was mentally retarded. He was like, well, I'm not going to imitate him. And I was only in there about 3 hours. They were like, you're going to be in there for days. It's a Friday night. You might see a judge on Monday. Ha, ha, ha. You know, and just really acting weird and coming up with McDonald's bags going, you want the McDonald's? You want the McDonald's? And like people begging, yes, I want. I mean, I was like, whoa. And then all of a sudden I heard the chanting outside. Hundreds and hundreds of protesters came in and circled the precinct and said, let him go, let him go. All I'd done was bullhorn Geraldo Rivera when he was outside. There's video of that in Truth Rising, Geraldo flipping us off and everything. And it was like in a movie. And all of a sudden this captain shows up a few hours into it and says, you take those people, you tell them to break up and leave or we're going to get rough and it's rock and roll time. You got me? And kind of poked me in the chest. And I was tired. And I said, okay. And I went out and said, folks, can we just leave? Thanks for getting me out. But they didn't like the fact that the captain or whatever had to come down to see what was going on at the precinct, so they just got rid of me. And it turned out I had to send a lawyer into court for it, that it was a non-arrestable offense. It was a ticketable ordinance for an unauthorized sound device, and I could have sued them for it, but they almost broke my wrist. When they put my arms behind my back, they did the thing where they raise your arms up in the middle. It's a torture move. And then put the handcuffs on so that you can't lower your arms. And then they cut my wrist. And that was a very enjoyable for them, teaching me about the First Amendment and that little scum won't get away with anything while the feds blow up Building 7 and Larry Silverstein says he blew it up on PBS and nobody gets in trouble. But by the way, the cop pension funds all over the country, along with other public service, the feds have announced and the states, they are going to be cutting them. So enjoy the bankers. Remember, I'm the enemy. I'm that sovereign citizen. I'm that bad guy. So run to Papa's arms. Run to the New World Order. Learn to hate me. I'm that evil American who wants my due process. But I'm digressing. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, I'm sure, is enjoying the New York jail. Isn't looking as arrogant as he was on the video I saw when they brought him in on Sunday. Not looking as arrogant now after just two or three days in the fetid rat holes that are, and I've been in quite a few jails demonstrating. New York, there's nothing like it. I've been in Dallas jail. I've been the Austin jail, which was also covered with different excretions. And I got to have a midget redhead guy slam my head in the wall for no reason and then giggle and see if I wanted to do something at the Austin jail for just protesting the thumb scanning that would then be used to buy and sell and track all of us. Now, the state police guy was nice, pulled over, took my handcuffs off, was very friendly to me and said I was ordered to do this by the head of public safety. The head spokesman came down there when I was protesting and ordered me arrested. And he apologized for it and said he was concerned about the biometrics. I don't want to get him in trouble. But then when I got down to the snot-covered walls of the Austin jail, the midget redhead, and nothing against short people, I'm not that tall, did feel manly when he was taking the handcuffs off, slamming my head in the wall and then giggling. I mean, can you imagine how low and unhappy that guy is? Guaranteed can't get a woman. Guaranteed unsuccessful. Guaranteed a loser. But side issue, I'm having flashbacks here just thinking about jails I've been in, trying to defend the Republic. But Strauss-Kahn isn't as arrogant looking now after he's been enjoying. I was a step down the New York jail. I saw some video of the one they brought him into. It looked like a 100-year-old jail as well, from the $3,000 a night hotel, I would imagine, Mr. Kahn. But L.A. Times, Schwarzenegger had child with staffer. And I was told this by Hollywood people, and even a few years ago, that he had an 8-year-old kid. I guess it's a 10-year-old kid now, a boy. And I was also contacted by a famous black bodybuilder who's in, you know, the pumping iron. You see him working out with Arnold, who was on record, you know, and Arnold saying you blacks are subhuman and all this stuff. And Arnold, you can say one thing, he's not a coward. He's starting fights with big black guys, you know, in the gym, routinely, you know, trying to start fights with people, according to him. And then he had a book coming out and didn't want to come on, but he contacted me, and I got to hear about the kids and all that. Because reportedly there's more than one, but I never talked about it because I couldn't prove it. I was also told by some Hollywood folks about it. Schwarzenegger's out with his other kids in public. L.A. Times, Schwartz, but see, when he was the governor, you politically don't talk about that at your newspaper, you get blackballed. Just like Kahn, if they didn't want to flush him down the toilet, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, DSK, who has this long reported history of jumping on women, quote, like a rutting chimpanzee. That's how this woman describes it. See, the globalist immunity has been decloaked. He reportedly had diplomatic immunity, but they're saying it doesn't count. Oh, see, because they make the rules. That's what it's all about. We don't have to do the regular radiation testing of these that everybody else does under federal law at the TSA. We just do it. Ha ha, we're all powerful. We don't care if federal law says we can't stick our hands down your pants and an FBI agent can't do it. We can because we were told we could. And that's a new headline out today. TSA responds to Texas, says resistance is futile. And that's what I've and they're saying it doesn't matter. We have federal law. Article 6, Clause 2. Prevents states from regulating the federal government. Boy, isn't that delusional? You're out of your jurisdiction. I mean, just 20 years ago, the FBI had to get permission to come into your county. Now, you just got the TSA going, we do whatever we want around here. We're going to be on the streets now and train stations. You can't regulate nothing we say. We'll see about that. We'll see about that. You know, the mounting lawsuits, the state reps, the U.S. reps being groped. This isn't going to go away. People say, oh, Americans are going to put up with it. No. Americans are lazy and hypnotized by television. They have been on average. But they're still, under the surface, vicious frontier pirates. I don't care how you came here, black, white, Hispanic. This is the rough and tumble wildlands. I mean, this continent, you go back to the Native Americans, it's always been perpetual war. The veneer of civilization is burning off. Like the space shuttle coming back in from orbit and the tiles turning red hot. I mean, it's not going to happen. People are not going to put up. Oh, you can find some sheep that'll let you stick your hands down a one-year-old girl's pants and feel their genitals. But let me tell you, there's a big percentage that didn't. And so go ahead and tell us resistance is futile. Go ahead and tell us that we're going to drink the fluoride federally mandated and we can't stop you. It's getting removed all over. Go ahead, blow up some more buildings, set a nuke off. We know you're run by foreign banks. We're going to defeat you. Find the dumbest people you can that want the job of sticking their hands down people's pants. More and more of them are going to get busted for pedophilia, rape, planting drugs on people, stealing stuff. Just keep pressing. Keep pushing with your primitive Dominique Strauss-Kahn need to dominate everybody. You guys had everybody if you kept going with the slow kill. But you've got to perch on us and spit in our face and punch us in the face, and it isn't going to work. And that's the news here about Schwartzy. Now it's pouring out all the women and him grabbing him and forcing himself on him. It's the same attitude. A normal man does not want to force anything on a woman. That's the opposite of fun. You know, I mean, that's the opposite of what you want. These guys, it's about taking. The devil is never a maker. The less that you give, it's a taker. You know, the lover of life, my friends, isn't the sinner. It's the people that hate life. You know, the globalists have miscast sin as having a good time, a passion for life, gusto. That's not the big sin, folks. Sin is wanting to dumb people down, control people, lie to people, hurt the children. Sin is being so selfish and petulant and greedy that you seek to dumb people down and shutter their minds and souls from the greater truths and mysteries of the universe because you're too threatened by the indomitable human spirit. And all your aspartame and MSG and vaccines and fluoride and aluminum dioxide being sprayed on us now, admittedly, mixed with the jet fuel. The airlines don't even know about it. Federal mandates now on record. None of that is going to work in the end because it's only going to make the true survivors and fighters come through on the other side and expose what you've done. And you've thrown everything at us, and you're going to fail. All your control grids, all your human predictability systems, all your spy gadgets, all of your tech, at the end of the day, isn't going to help you. And you're so predatory that you're going to steal your own government people's pension funds now and have the Republicans come out and say that'll balance the budget when you could get rid of all of that and it would do nothing to the fake derivatives that we've been forcibly signed on to. And sure, they'll find dumber and stupider people that'll work for even less and less pension funds to be cops who enjoy abuse because they'd pay to be able to have a badge and gun and go around abusing people. And that'll just make more folks wake up. And you know, more public schools coming out saying the kids belong to them and more arrogance and more attacks on farmers and ranchers and Amish. Just keep showing us who you are. Now, I'm going to blitz through police state news, and I'll get more into this with Alfred Adask, but we got another guest coming up. But I want to go through this police state news on the other side. But see, it's all coming out about Schwarzenegger, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, all of them, because... Well, quite frankly, the globalists don't like them, I guess, because they like women. Now, that's a big no-no with the elite. All right, we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives, even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream, and the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Okay, my friends, we are back live, and I will break more of this down coming up in the third hour with our guest dealing with the police state today. We have another guest coming up here in just about 8 minutes. Middle Tennessee police profiting off of drug trade. This is out of News Channel 5. News Channel 5. Nashville, Tennessee, a major News Channel 5 investigation has uncovered serious questions about Tennessee's war on drugs. Among these questions are some police agencies concerned more about making money off drugs than stopping them. That's why the government made drugs illegal, is to boost their price. At the center of this months-long investigation are laws that let officers pull drivers over looking for cash. Those officers do not even have to file criminal charges against a person to take his or her money. All over Texas, all over every state, Michigan, they have federal regulations where they lobby states to pass laws where as long as they give the money to the feds, 80% of it goes back to the local police department. The state laws, most of it has to go to the general state fund. Notice how everything's written so the feds are the people that control the money. And in Texas, it's routine where mayors from other cities are pulled over and cops go, $1,000 bucks, mine. You're like, officer, what are you doing? You go ahead and try to beat the rap. They'll take people's cars. The Dallas Police Department put chalk in thousands of people's vehicles, said it was cocaine. The crime lab, the Houston, I mean, Tulia, Texas, planted drugs on 60-plus black people to fill their own private prison in town because they didn't have enough beds, basically owned by the local boss hog. And the point is, I see these type of articles every day. And they pull you over, no judge, no jury, no drugs. Can you prove where that $2,000 came from? They've had cases in Texas where 85-year-old old lady, and one case turned out she was, you know, a well-known wealthy socialite. She had $4,000 in her purse, and they said, why do you have this much money? And she said, well, I like to, you know, have cash. And they just took it. That was the Texas State Police. This is the whole federal system trying to corrupt police. So there you go. That's just in the stack. And it goes through cases where they just, you know, even take a few $100 bucks. Just, you don't have cash, slave. I mean, land of the coward, home of the slave. Doesn't matter. Bigger crooks than you are going to steal all your pension funds, and you're going to die of cancer because you love drinking that fluoride water and taking all those vaccines, cops. So just keep believing in the system. Keep laughing at me. Keep it up. Go ahead. Let's continue. Of course, a lot of cops are waking up. That's good. Come in and join the Liberty Movement and come in for the big win. 10 indications the United States is a dictatorship. Activist Post has an incredible analysis up at Infowars.com. Rule by force, not by law, details the entire intimidation tactics, criminal activity, government kidnapping, secret arrest, everything. Number two, crushing peaceful protest. Globally trained, standardized, England, U.S., Canada, hired provocateurs, attacking peaceful people, checkpoints federally funded, now taking blood all over the country under federal grants, tasering people to death. Number five, executive orders, countermanding. Executive orders like 12,954 that countermand Congress. Openly say for any reason the president can be a dictator, suspend Congress for 6 months. Number six, control of regulatory agencies. They just ignore whatever Congress even says, just do whatever they want. TSA, Congress tells them stop sticking hands down pants. They say go to Hades. We're going to stick our hands down your pants. Governor of Tennessee 2 years ago tells the Army don't run checkpoints on highways. They said go fly a kite, pal. Go jump in the lake. Ha, ha, ha. Woohoo! It's going to steal $27 trillion for the bankers. Number seven, president declares war unilaterally. Under U.N. orders, it's happening. How many constitutional law scholars we got to have on to break that down for you? Number eight, torture. School of America's other secret police that did it. Forced labor camps. Now, we've got the biggest forced labor prisons in the world, the biggest prison population in the world. Number 10, control over all communications. Propaganda, how they're putting in the whole internet control system. Nice report there. I think I'm going to run through a few more of these. We're going to name me on, but I'll just mention some of the headlines when we come back. And the TSA says, hey, we're going to keep molesting your children. Bertrand Russell. John P. Holdren, White House science czar, countless other globalists. We've written detailed articles on it at Infowars.com. Made the film Endgame. Break down how they add sodium fluoride to the water because it massively reduces fertility. Sevenfold increase in bone cancer in men, threefold in women. Major IQ reduction on average 5 to 15 points depending on what level of fluoride. They have long-term studies. This is the type of information that we're dealing with. And you do two things. You get a T-shirt that will be a walking billboard to start conversations with people and spread the word. And you'll also support our transmission. We have two different fluoride is poison T-shirts. Here's my favorite, the blue one. We have a white one with blue. This is the one that's mainly blue. There's a poison in the tap water with a droplet, a big droplet with a skull on it, Infowars.com. And on the back it says, an individual is consuming an industrial waste added to the drinking water by our government for the purpose of medication. Number two, more toxic than lead, the active ingredient in many pesticides, linked to increases in bone cancer, brain damage, and lower IQ, Infowars.com. I think this should be our best-selling shirt. Still, the best-selling shirt is the V for Victory. It's a limited edition. We're not going to be printing any more of that, so if you want that shirt, it's available at Infowars.com. And remember, we're not funded by the globalist David Rockefeller, the New World Order. We're funded by you, the listeners, supporting the sponsors, buying the books, the videos. It's all available at Infowars.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. You can also subscribe at PrisonPlanet.tv for the live video feed and so much more, PrisonPlanet.tv. We also are carrying a lot of great new videos like Into the Fire, Invisible Empire, New World Order Defined, and the video I think that is the best bar none. It's a animated, it looks like Disney quality, made by Patriots, the American Dream, fighting the lying liars, one stupid lie at a time, and it's available at Infowars.com. It breaks down the founding fathers, who they fought, who the central bankers are, how the big cartels work, what crony capitalism is. It is just such an amazing film. The American Dream, available at Infowars.com. We also have Mark Dice's new excellent book, Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True, and Jesse Ventura's 63 Documents They Don't Want You to Read. Finally, before we go to Nomi Prinz, have you lost your power and want to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, you should check out MySolarBackup.com because there's never been better time to start getting off the grid and generating your own supply of electrical power. Plug-and-play generators are available now 4 years. Our listeners love them. From Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly and emits no fumes. It's like having your own electrical power plant, and it's perfect for your home or your campsite. Whether it's hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. So go to MySolarBackup.com to request your free information packet today. MySolarBackup.com. You can also order online or 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Okay, let me just read you a smattering of these headlines as we go to Nomi Prinz. Here is Rolling Stone saying what she wrote 6-7 years ago in her best-selling book. The People versus Goldman Sachs. A Senate committee has laid out the evidence. Now the Justice Department should bring criminal charges. When Obama is completely financed by these people, four times what McCain was. Not saying McCain was good. He was clearly the heir apparent. Here's some of the other headlines. China for fifth month straight accelerates dumping of U.S. treasuries, not buying them. Here's another one, Washington Post, Treasury to tap pensions to help fund government. And I'm now hearing calls to tax private pensions, just as the same group of foreign banks, the bailout money shows who owns the Federal Reserve, mainly foreign banks, have started taking the private pensions, the 100% owned by you. This isn't welfare. You know, most of these government pensions you paid for as well. But now they're going after the private ones, and that's coming next. These people aren't going to stop. They haven't set up anti-terror brigades and having 60-minute specials about anybody that doesn't love this being a terrorist because they're going to play patty cake. They're here to bring us to our knees to enslave us through economic degradation. And Nomi Prinz is our guest for 5 minutes of the next hour. She is a journalist and senior fellow at Demos. Her latest book, It Takes a Pillage, Behind the Bonuses, Bailouts, and Backdoor Deals. She is an author of Other People's Money, The Corporate Mugging of America, 2004. A devastating expose, so I guess she did this 7 years ago, into corporate corruption, politics, collusion on Wall Street. I read the book. She predicted everything that now happened. Other People's Money was chosen by the best book, 2004, by The Economist, Barron's, in the Library Journal. Her book, Jacked, How Conservatives Are Picking Your Pocket, Whether You Voted For Them or Not, gets into how they're claiming they're conservative but are running all the corporate welfare. Before becoming a journalist, Nomi worked for the Wall Street Journal as a managing director at Goldman Sachs. not at Wall Street Journal, at Wall Street as a managing director at Goldman Sachs and running the International Analytics Group at Bear Stearns in London. And we've got her here to talk about all of this. Nomi, since we had you on a month ago, a lot has happened. What is most important on your radar screen? Then I've got my questions.
Well, you know, everything you said is important. I want to start at the end maybe and work backwards because it just was the latest bit of news that pissed me off and I think is just ridiculous, which is that Tim Geithner has said that in order to make the debt cap, if Congress doesn't raise it, he is going to have to stop paying on civil personnel, their disability funds, their pension funds, potentially private pension funds. These are things that people have paid into. These are obligations that have already been agreed upon. And this is what he's talking about going after in order to manage the debt problem. Now, I just want to point out, and I've said this on the show, and I just want to re-point out, there is over $4 trillion, trillion, at the Fed today, in their latest report, in their weekly report, that breaks down into $1.5 trillion of treasuries, almost $1 trillion of mortgage and asset-backed securities from the time, and $1.5 trillion worth of excess reserves that the banks are putting money at the Fed to get interest upon, that is just sitting there. So while we were talking about, while he is talking about taking money away from people who have earned it, have saved it, have agreed that they are going to receive it, small, tiny, little amounts, there is over $4 trillion of money doing nothing but sitting at the Fed to subsidize the banking system. And we talk about the debt problem. We talk about the deficit problem. $4 trillion, bigger than the size of our budget, bigger than the size of any problems created since the fall of 2008, still there. Still only a portion of the full bailout of the banking system, but sitting there. And if Geithner or anyone had, you know, a small modicum of logic or brainfulness or whatever it might be, that would be a place to get some money from. You know, we gave it to the banks. Banks profited from it. Banks still profited from it. They are not changing the way they do things and what they do. And there is money there sitting, available, while all these pontifications and the notion of taking it away from individuals is going on. It's just, it is mind-boggling.
And by the way, your mainline Democrats have been fooled. They say, raise taxes, pay my pension funds, which is exactly what the big central banks want, because that won't go to them. It'll go offshore to their fraudulent interest and the systems. Now, they fool the mainline conservatives by saying, we got to fix America. Slash these public pension funds, maybe even go after private ones. It's conservative. When you could get rid of all of that, we've broken down the numbers and it wouldn't do anything. Absolutely. To the 1,000+ trillion in derivatives, the unfunded mandates, all of it. And then they say, well, quit bashing Wall Street, Alex. They're free market, really. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Berkshire Hathaway, Citibank. They're the ones that got the banker bailout. And then they sit there and lecture us about free market while they all file record profits, record bonuses just domestically, not to mention that what, over 80% of it's being shipped overseas and they're paying near zero on it. This is going according to plan. They're robbing us, the greatest robbery in history. And you hit the nail on the head. They've got $4 trillion sitting there liquid, but they're waiting to loan that out to widows at 79.9% credit card rates. They're not going to, no, sir. They're going to hold us hostage and cut the benefits and cut people's pension funds they paid into, and then they're going to have the Republicans go right along with it like idiots, killing the economy.
Well, exactly, and it is a bipartisan issue. Yes, it's Republicans going after it, the Democrats not noticing it. It's like stealing $4 trillion and having it out there like in the middle of daylight, and not have anybody sort of who is in control of potentially getting to it do anything about it. It's mind-boggling. And then you move on to what's going on in Europe, and you know, the bigger scandal of the IMF, which isn't just whatever might come out of the sexual assault case on the former chief or you know, chief in waiting for his home bail or in jail or wherever he might be right now, which is that, for example, Greece is being asked to pay 25% interest rates on money that's coming to them, not just from the IMF and the EU, but, of course, because the market, the bankers are slaughtering the country, which is what has happened with all of the peripheral countries in Europe. It's not really different from what's happening to those, the widows and the pensioners and everyone else here. We're being asked to pay 30% or more on credit card rates. We're having homes taken away under fraudulent means and everything else. The same thing is happening systematically through the IMF, through the EU and Europe for the peripheral countries. And there have been bailouts. So Greece, for example, did get a bailout of $141 billion last year. And by the way, before that bailout, the former head of the IMF, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, had said that everything was going to be fine. A, only one bailout would be needed. B, austerity measures that would be put upon the people of Greece would be enough. And there would be no other bailouts happening in the rest of Europe. For example, in Portugal, which just got its bailout created and approved by the EU and the IMF on Monday, while Dominique Strauss-Kahn was in court. So the stuff that happened under him and the stuff that the IMF has been doing has been extracting, again, and blaming pension funds and society types of programs, when in fact it was the banks that trashed those economies.
Well, that came out just last year in Iceland. The people finally called their bluff and got the documents, and even the Financial Times had to admit over 90% of the debt was not the government or the people's. It was the very central banks demanding the money. That's what's crazy. They're like, pay us back the debts, and it's their debts. Same thing in Ireland. They're the apple of the world's eye until they go into the EU. That puts them under these banking rules, and suddenly they're in trouble, and now they're maneuvering the U.S. to losing its AAA rating, so we'll be paying 25%. And then once we go to that point, there's no way to ever get out of debt. It's designed to make us debt slaves. And Nomi, what about this? Because you worked at the highest levels with these people. How do you deal with Geithner up there saying, if you don't raise the debt ceiling, you're going to cause a default, when they've already technically defaulted by monetizing 70%+ of the Treasury bills? I mean, even Standard & Poor's said it's all this spending and the banker bailout that's doing this. But then Geithner stands up there blaming what they've created on us trying to reverse what's happening.
Well, again, he's completely incompetent and misguided, but comes from the same banking system that enabled all of this to happen. As head of the New York Fed, no, he didn't work at Goldman, he didn't work at J.P. Morgan Chase, but, you know, the New York Fed's Class A prime director is Jamie Dimon, and was Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan Chase. So they really came from the same fold, and the fold was to enable the least amount of rules and the cheapest amount of capital to leverage the most, and that when it all fell apart, debt would be created, and Geithner just sort of moved from his post at the New York Fed to the Treasury Department, where it's officially a public office, but in fact is really just an extension of the private banking functions that he was doing. Our debt and our GDP are almost equivalent. You know, we're talking the difference of a couple hundred billion dollars. We our entire debt is because of this, and most of it has happened in the last decade, but more of that has happened in the last 2.5 years since the financial crisis was made apparent by Wall Street. $4 trillion of debt, again, is at the Fed. $4 trillion was created by the Treasury Department. It's the same number. There was just a transfer, and that all happened with Tim Geithner. So it's wrong economically. It's certainly wrong socially. It's wrong from a policy perspective.
But they stand to gain by wrecking societies. They've done this to countless third world countries.
It's cheaper. It is cheaper. You do it to third world countries. You raise the interest rates, and it's not just by doing it officially. You do it because that's where capital flies in, capital flies out, capital makes decisions. It's the derivatives market, it's the currency markets, it's the way these central banks operate, and you wind up creating some dominant bank-oriented countries, and every other country and every other individual of those countries winds up suffering from the cost of having created that debt to make the whole thing float.
Excellent points. Isn't it, I mean, it's elementary, but how do you explain something so simple to a population that the establishment media has been fed the left-right paradigm of, rob the middle class to keep the welfare net going on the left, to Republicans, slash everything to keep things going. Either way is just two different arms of the same predatory system. I mean, here's what I'm getting at here. We know that they create the derivatives bubble, make huge profits on the way up, then they use the crisis they've created as this giant cancer, and they say you've got to feed the cancer or the whole body is going to die. And then it's so massive that now the whole world orbits the Ponzi scheme because we're buffaloed that the whole world will collapse financially if we don't give in to them. But we're being absorbed. The giving in is the slow death. We've got a chance if we, I mean, how do we break through to the public that doesn't understand this? How do you simplify it for them?
Well, that's the thing. It's almost like bodies like the Fed, the Treasury Department, the IMF that are all in that same philosophy that you just outlined. It's this idea of, you know, amassing profit very quickly, moving capital around when it all falls apart, creating debt to keep it going and extracting that debt from everybody else who wasn't in the position of power to benefit or to benefit from the original profit. Profit on the way up, profit on the way down. And it's sort of like those bodies and the people, it's like the mafia sort of like running into your town or you know, basically taking over, you know, anything. The pizza place, the dry cleaners, whatever it might be. And saying, you know what, you're going to keep on paying us because if you don't pay us, we're going to kill you. And by the way, if you can't pay us, we're going to kill you. And by paying us, it will kill you. It's a very...
When it would just be better to go ahead and make sure the mafia guy doesn't make it back out of the business.
Oh, yeah, I start them out. I mean, the problem is these aren't, you know, Tim Geithner.
No, this is the mafia that controls.
This is someone that we basically is appointed. This isn't even someone who has to go through a public process.
It's foreign banks that have hijacked America that have 20,000 nuclear weapons and know me incredible information. Let's come back and talk about what you see coming in the future. Any comments on Dominique Strauss, the running chimpanzee, Khan? And we'll also get your take on ideas to reverse this. Former managing director at Goldman Sachs. I've been blowing the whistle now for 7, 8, 9 years. Naomi Prinz is our guest. Naomi Prinz is our guest, big insider whistleblower, journalist, best-selling author. Naomi, the good news is major publications now admit we've been robbed blind. Even last year, they were having a celebratory Jekyll Island 100-year anniversary. And I played the clip here on air of former Fed chairman saying, Greenspan, that you know the big banks have done a lot of criminal stuff. Wachovia and others, Wells Fargo, caught laundering of $376 billion in drugs. I mean, people are really starting to get the facts here, and Rolling Stone's coming out saying, where's the criminal indictments? I mean, we know they're committing crimes. And this old line that Greenspan used 2 years ago on Lair NewsHour that we're above the law, we control the government, you know, no one can touch us. Well, people inherently know, even if they're not lawyers, on its face, that's a fraud. I mean, who are these people? We didn't have them till 1913. So it seems momentum is shifting against them, and they can't stop stealing and using their advantage to steal the taxpayer money. So I think it's a matter of time till they go down. What do you think?
I want to believe that, and I do think that in order for that to happen, you know, as you said, people have to be more and more aware. I'm sure you get much more than I do. But, you know, I get emails all the time saying, okay, you know, what do we do? What can we do? You know, this is just words. But, you know, it's not just words. People have to know, people have to talk to each other and get an understanding that, you know, the reason that it costs more money, whether it's putting gas in your tank or whether your wages aren't going as much forward or whether your pensions won't be worth as much when you retire, is because there's all of this money being stolen out from under you and being used sort of against you, and the people that run it are not elected officials. They're publicly appointed, and that's something that makes it very difficult. The Fed enabled And it was a joint effort. It was collusive. But the Fed enabled the Treasury Department to issue $4 trillion worth of debt in the last 2.5 years. That's a lot of debt. That is a significant portion of our GDP, and it's the most historically quick creation of our debt.
And let's be clear.
Ever,
they get our money, they get to use it, and then we pay them interest on it.
We pay them interest on it. And it's right there. We're talking about not paying disabilities for public employees. It doesn't even make it, or potentially private ones. It doesn't actually make any sense. So now you have, again, on the IMF, you have John Lipsky, who was a J.P. Morgan Chase guy, who's going to be doing the same types of procedures and philosophies, which is basically bankrupting individuals in order to subsidize banking systems throughout Europe. And it all comes together, because in the meantime, it looks like what the Fed is doing isn't even so bad, because bad stuff is happening in Europe. So it makes our dollar look, which is very weak and should be weak, given
all concerted our debt. Implosion by design. I mean, G20 admitted 2 years ago, it's coordinated devaluing. It's totally dastardly. What about the word that big New World Order promoter, Mr. Global Governance, Gordon Brown, may replace Dominique Strauss-Kahn at the IMF?
That again, if that happens, that is just more of the same. That's basically going to promote the continued policies of the IMF, which is to do everything it can to make sure that capital, bank capital, quick speculation can continue in and out of these countries, that the banks who manifested are bailed out and supported when things go wrong as the individuals pay the tab. It's the exact same philosophy, unfortunately. He might be a little less pushy of it than Dominique Strauss-Kahn, because of the whole sort of French-English relationship, but it's not that different. The English, the English banking system, and I worked in London for 7 years. I worked in London when the euro was being discussed and created, and there was a lot of debate between the central, stronger quote economies and the peripheral ones that are now having problems. And not much has changed. There's been a notion of kind of using them when it's convenient to speculate, bailing the banks who did it, and then hurting the individuals when people come out. And it's not too different from what's going on here. You're subsidizing a system that's stealing from us with so much more money than you could use to subsidize the population if that were to be the choice. And that's what we need to basically work towards.
All right, Nomi Prinz with us for 5 more minutes. On the other side, I want to get her view just on these bankers, you know, the $3,000 a night hotel rooms.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have a surprise guest that's going to be in studio with us at the 2 o'clock hour Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, 1 p.m. Mountain. We have Alfred Adask, demonized by the big 60 Minutes piece, saying that if you question any of this corruption, you don't like the Federal Reserve. They're putting out manuals for the cops that we first got over 2 years ago, saying if anybody doesn't like what the Federal Reserve's doing, they're enemy number one. We also got documents where the Army in plain clothes goes out to in the Fed protest. Nomi, it's very clear that these bankers know they've committed these crimes. They know they run our government, and they're trying to maneuver the government workers to be enemies of the American people that are awake.
And they support the highest leaders of our government, which they don't just support. They pay for them to be in office and then to ultimately appoint people who basically maintain the philosophy. And they monger fear. They basically talk about these notions that, you know, again, back to the debt cap, that if we don't raise it, that if we don't increase our debt, that if we don't do more of the same, which is not helping the average individual on the street, that somehow it's going to be cataclysmic. When what was cataclysmic to begin with was the financial crisis that led up to the excess debt and the lack of not just anyone going to jail, just the lack of any kind of structural change to the system itself, as opposed to just allowing more of the same to continue. In Matt's piece on Goldman, which was an excellent piece, noting that this matter should now go to the Department of Justice. Well, we're talking about the same Department of Justice that investigated AIG for a nanosecond last year and decided that there wasn't enough evidence to bother to prosecute. You know, so we're talking about a kind of endemic unwillingness to really probe into what's wrong. And it's not that complicated. I've written books on it. Many other people have written books on it. It's not that complicated to understand that rules were bent and broken and sidestepped in order to create a financial leverage system that profited a lot, that imploded, and that now we are all paying for it.
And now they're building up, correct me if I'm wrong, now they're building up to do it again, and they're actually emboldened by the fact that they got away with the swindles.
They have more money, exactly. Right now, they're paying 0% on the money with which they can do it again. When they did it the first time, or the most recent time, before the 2008 financial crisis, you know, they were paying between, you know, up to 4 or 5% on money, and now they're paying zero. And they're getting interest paid on reserves that they're keeping in the meantime at the Fed. So the result of this crisis was that they have more money to continue to do what they're doing. So, yes, they're emboldened, and they're also more financed.
NomiPrins.com is the website, NomiPrins.com. And we've got links to her up on Infowars.com. Again, NomiPrins.com. And tell us about your latest book.
I'm actually trying to work on a book where I go back to the 100 years of what happened leading up to the Fed and how all the sort of lies that we've been told going back to their own documents and what was said publicly versus what was said privately over the last century. So it's a pretty ambitious work. It's going to take a while, but that's sort of what I'm working on now. And it's much more in-depth than historical than It Takes a Pillage, which was very much looking at the most recent crisis and some history that led up to it. But this will be more probing. I'm looking at some old Fed documents and other things over the last century to really piece together just what happened rather than talking about it to show the real evidence.
Well, in closing, we've only got 30 seconds, $3,000 night hotel rooms, the IMF and World Bank are taxpayer funded, and they're always lecturing us about how they care about third world countries. Meanwhile, they're caught by design imploding them. I mean, these are a bunch of pretty sickening people in your experience.
Oh, it's awful. I mean, you know, I used to hang out with people, and I remember this in London, you know, sort of the same ilk where they would go into hotels and just basically raid the, you know, liquor cabinets and somehow fill.
We'll talk about
water.
It next time you're back, Nomi. People. Thank you so much.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, I want to play a few minutes from the CBS 60 Minutes hit piece that aired a few nights ago. And one of the main people they zeroed in on is a radio host, publisher of the Anti-Shyster News magazine, ran for Texas Supreme Court, identified by the federal government as one of the top dozen anti-government activists during the 1990s, adask.wordpress.com. is his website, and here's the headline, A Look at the Sovereign Citizen Movement. Meanwhile, we have foreign banks openly stealing $27 trillion, and we haven't gotten new numbers in a year. That was 2 years in. We have the Bill of Rights being trampled. We have the TSA out of their jurisdiction, outside federal and state law, sticking their hands down children's pants, and saying they're going to ignore the state law passed, saying they can't do it. I read earlier articles are pouring in. Mainstream TV is admitting in Tennessee and other states that police all over are pulling over even prominent people. That's when they get in trouble, is when it's a judge or a country music singer, you name it. It's happening to everybody, old ladies, and they're taking as low as $100 out of their wallet. You got proof that $100 is yours? Give it to me. Cops are plugging their cell phones in, stealing all their data. Look, this happens in history over and over again. It's called tyranny. Here's some of the news items. While you were sleeping, they abolished the Fourth Amendment. U.S. Supreme Court claims that if they hear sounds, they don't need a warrant to go in your house. And those against the decision said it's the end of the Fourth Amendment. The Indiana Supreme Court stated, for any reason, including no reason at all, no Fourth Amendment. And I read the head judge's quote. He said, there is no Fourth Amendment. I mean, they said, we can do whatever we want, even without a reason. And he went on and attacked Magna Carta and said it was unreasonable. Again, the government works for us. You got to go to an elected judge to get that warrant. You got to be able to face your accuser. It's all out the window. I mean, now they admit devices are spying on everything. No Fourth Amendment, no Tenth Amendment. They're coming after the Second. The ATF's been caught. Now we learned for 2 years shipping tens of thousands of guns into Mexico to the drug cartels to trace them back here so they could then say we got to restrict and ban semi-autos, which they did. And they don't even care they got caught. They're still going ahead. I mean, this, it's bigger than Obama, folks. It's total mafia, okay? He's just their front man. So you learn to hate him. They pull him out, put a new one in. While you were sleeping, they abolished the Fourth Amendment. Here's another report. Globalist secret weapon kill chips. CNN now has a report out admitting, yes, industry's putting kill switches, takeover switches and everything. The president is to start breaking in with videos and text bossing you around. They're now announcing the feds are going to break into local radio and TV, not for emergency alerts, but just with brainwashing. Telescreens going in 9,000 locations saying spy on your neighbors. Public schools nationwide with AI software cameras tracking the kids, recording everything they say, run by the Pentagon. Laptops the school gives the kids with taxpayer money paid for, spying on them at school. Schools don't care. They're out in the open. We're being bum-rushed by the criminal class. I mean, they're just running wild. Their theory is a blitzkrieg of corruption. Just hit us. Anybody who speaks out. We got the Homeland Security Mike reports 2 years ago. Gun owners, conservatives, returning veterans, Ron Paul supporters, people that want to end the Fed, anybody that criticizes the central banks are marked for arrest. And they're trying to brainwash the cops. And that's what this show said. If you don't worship the government, you want to kill cops. That's the message. Globalist secret weapon exposed. Tech kill chips. Continuing. Federally mandated light bulbs go into effect next year. $50 each. Owned by GE. GE shutting down all the other power plants that they basically don't owe. They're giving waivers. There's a new list out of the thousands of groups that have been given the presidential waiver. I did not have to get insurance. It's government clubs, Nancy Pelosi restaurants, McDonald's, General Electric, just total mafia where you've got to buy the socialist health care from the insurance company. But anybody who's part of the inside group, their employees don't have to have it so they can beat you with unfair trade advantage. Just total blind mafia. Neo-eco-fascist light bulbs cost $50 each. Look at this one. And this is out of Fox Business. Philly police harassed, threatened to shoot man legally carrying gun. Legal to carry, open. The cops beat him up, cuss at him, all recorded, and said, we don't care what the law is, and just throttled him. And talked about, we'll blow your head off. A slave doesn't have a gun. We'd play the audio, but there's so many F-bombs from the cops, we can't do it. Spokane photographers considered suspicious Al-Qaeda types. We have the newscast where the police say, spy on your neighbors. Anyone photographing's evil, get them. But the government's surveilling us. TSA backscatter radiation safety tests were rigged. They wouldn't give Congress the studies for a year. Then they gave them fake studies. That's out. Here's the Middle Tennessee police profiting from drug trade, robbing cash. Here's the CNN article I mentioned, why gadget makers wield a kill switch. Well, it's a federal mandate. TSA responds to Texas, resistance is futile. We're going to play this clip and then go to Alfred Adask, who would dare chronicle the crime of the crime syndicate, who would dare point out the 10th and 9th Amendment of the states. That's why they hate him so much. Let's go ahead and play a few minutes, and it gets even worse. They say in the newscast, if you criticize the Fed or anybody else, you're a cop killer. And the cops say, we've got to know who these people are. We got to have a list. Well, that's what these threat fusion centers are all about. They want to know who the real Americans are. Here's the clip.
Oh, what is a sovereign citizen?
Sovereign citizen, in its simplest form, believes that he is above the law.
J.J. McNabb has been studying sovereign citizens for a decade. She's testified before Congress and is writing a book about the movement.
He has a twisted sense of history, and he thinks that people who lived in the 18th century were free of all legal constraints, and they want to return to that time now.
Didn't have a Federal Reserve.
Jerry and Joe Kane were part of an anti-government
didn't
movement
have an income
whose roots
tax.
Go back to the racist Posse Comitatus
didn't have a standing
in the 1970s.
Army.
in the Montana Freeman of the 90s. Convicted Oklahoma City bomber Terry Nichols was a sovereign citizen.
That was a federal operation, totally proven.
By actor Wesley Snipes, convicted of tax evasion in 2008.
He used tax loopholes the private banks use.
Sovereign language.
Average sovereign citizen.
But they're the only ones allowed to pay zero tax.
30,
big bankers.
35, and is in economic dire straits.
Yeah, because of big fat parasites like you.
They've probably lost the job. They've probably lost the wife.
Paranoid?
Many are.
Conspiracy theorists?
Most are.
Do you trust the government? I would argue that it's un-American to trust the government.
Alfred Adisk has been a sovereign citizen for 28 years. He's what's called a sovereign guru, one of the movement's leading voices. A roofer by trade, Adisk once published a magazine critical of the legal system.
How dare him?
Why is the sovereign citizen movement growing?
What's driving people to it is they are beginning to understand that the government has moved away from fundamental principles that this nation is built on. Where are the limits in limited government? The sovereignty movement is attempting to rediscover those limits and reassert them.
You're eligible for Social Security?
Yes, sir.
Do you collect?
No.
Why not?
If you take these benefits, you wind up being in the status of a subject rather than a sovereign.
You pay taxes?
When they're due. You don't necessarily, it's not true that everyone has to pay taxes.
Has the IRS ever come after you for back taxes?
Yes.
Did you pay?
No.
You don't like this government very much, do you?
I think the government has gone far beyond its constitutional limits. They think, hey, we're not obligated, we're the government, we can do anything. And some people are saying, no, I don't think you can.
Adisk, like other sovereign groups.
All right, that's Alfred Adisk. And he joins us now for 5 minutes into the next hour. We have a surprise guest for about 30 minutes or so after that in studio. Alfred, they are moving now from getting rid of the Bill of Rights in the name of fighting their Al-Qaeda brigades, which are now the heroes in Libya, we're told, to the domestic groups. I believe they're really thinking about staging some new domestic events so they can really come after people like you and I. And it shows they're getting scared because you and others are calling them out, Alfred.
Well, I agree with you, and I think, you know, they have certainly stepped up their activity in recent times, but that's not necessarily evidence that they're becoming more powerful. It may be evidence that they're becoming more desperate. They realize this thing is coming to a head, and they're trying to grab whatever they can before the whole thing explodes in their face. I think they see the direction things are going, and I think they are perhaps desperate to stop people like you and me, thousands, millions of others that are beginning to understand, you know, this can't continue.
Yeah, they're not building hardened bunkers in every city and then we get the internal training manuals. It's not for guys wearing turbans that they know work for them.
Yeah.
It's for the American people. They know they're criminals.
Yeah. We are living in difficult, dangerous, and interesting times. And the most important thing is to stand up. You know, the worst thing you can possibly do right now is hunker down and be quiet. It's precisely when they come up and they try to exercise, try to hit us with as much force as possible. They do that to intimidate people into being quiet. They do it to intimidate you into fear. You can't succumb to it. Now is the time when you really have to stand up. And if at all possible, you need to stand up with other people at the same time.
Yeah, they're like a marlin fish on the line that's desperate and runs out 100 or 200 yards. That fish is getting tired. When he finally runs the hardest, you know he's about to give up. That's why they're sticking the hands down the baby's pants. That's why they're beating up photographers, because they're running on that line desperately. They got blood coming out their mouth. Their heart's beating. Their muscles are burning. They're about to implode.
Yeah, I agree. So the point to this is that, you know, if this system was operating smoothly, and if they were really running this operation, people wouldn't even be complaining. They wouldn't be suspecting. The sheep would be sheared, and they would thank the guy that sheared them and say, well, thanks very much for taking my fleece. It's because the system is on the edge of maybe losing control that it becomes desperate. That means now is the time for people like us, people that are listening to this program, you got to stand up. This is our opportunity. It's not just our danger, it is our opportunity.
All right, we're going to come back. Let's chronicle some of their greatest crimes, their big frauds, the TSA saying resistance is futile. We can stick our hands down your pants anywhere we want. We are God. Where they're going, and the type of persecution you've been under. We'll be right back. Alfred Adask is our guest. Folks, if you study the Bill of Rights, Constitution, history, in any country in history, this would be called tyranny, what we're living under. And I've got to be honest, I admire the illegal aliens. Most of them don't pay any taxes. They don't have any ID. They do whatever they want. And because they do it as a group, they're sovereign. They walk into a bank, no ID, they're given it. Citizens, though, are kept basically like slaves, and the system wants to keep us down. It's like in that clip from A Bug's Life with the grasshoppers talking about, if you let one ant stand up, all the ants might stand up. And I got to say, the illegal aliens behave a lot more like old-time Americans did than we do. And now the globalists want them there to drive down wages. That's why they let them, you know, get away with it. But more and more, Alfred, I think it's because the illegal aliens just won't put up with it. But continue breaking down why they're coming after the sovereign citizen movement, who this New World Order is, and where you think we're going.
The whole idea behind sovereignty, the sovereignty movement, I mean, I don't even like that term. For me, it's not a movement. I'm not a member of any group.
Freedom.
Well, what it is, it's an idea whose time has come again. That's what it comes down to. And the whole question about sovereignty is, who's running this country? Are we the people running this country, or is the government running this country? What the sovereign citizens are essentially saying, we the people, just like it says in the Constitution, we're running this country. And the government says, no, you're not. You're a bunch of subjects. And that's what this is about. Who is in control? The government says, we got to obey all their laws. But the problem is, the law goes in levels. You got God's law, number one. And then you have the law of the people, number two. And that law is enshrined in the constitutions at the state and federal level. That's the people's law. And then we get the law passed by government down at the bottom. The government says, we got to obey our law. And we're saying, no, you got to obey our law. You got to obey our law in the Constitution. And the government says, no, we don't have to obey the Constitution, but you got to obey our law. That's the guts of the sovereignty problem right now. Whose law is going to be followed? And ultimately, you're going to have God's law at the top.
Well, take these clergy response teams that Genesis talk show host Pastor Butch Paul first discovered. I was then sent hundreds and hundreds of pages, and the preacher got threatened over it. And people didn't believe the documents till 2 years later when national and local TV covered it and said how great it was. Oh, that tens of thousands of preachers are trained per year secretly to tell their flocks to submit and do whatever government says, because Romans 13, out of context, Hitler's favorite verse to control the Germans. Well, in America, we the people are the government. So render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And
that's,
you know,
exactly
that idiot.
Right. Exactly.
And that idiot from 60 Minutes was going, you know, you don't like the government. Alfred Adask is the government. You don't like to pay your taxes. We didn't have this till 1913. This is alien. Go ahead.
Well, nobody's crazy about paying taxes, but the government's not crazy about obeying the Constitution. What is worse, a handful of people who aren't paying taxes or a government that's not obeying the Constitution? Why should we pay taxes to a government that doesn't obey the Constitution?
Or that's run by banks that exempt themselves. That's really exactly waking people up, that all these mega banks pay almost zero tax.
Yeah. They want all the little people to pay taxes and the big operators. Why doesn't the Federal Reserve pay taxes? It's a private company. Why don't they pay taxes? Probably make more money than anybody.
Well, you know, it's come out. I've even seen it in the Washington Post some years. They do a study. Upwards of half of Congress doesn't pay taxes, and nobody prosecutes them.
Yeah, if you're in the, and they can get away with it, undoubtedly, not simply because they have power, but because when they do get away with it, now there's leverage to come after them, and now they're on a leash. You don't have to pay taxes, but you better vote the way you have to vote. All right, we'll tell you how to vote. You get away with not paying taxes, but if you step out of line, we're going to throw your butt in the slammer.
It's the old corruption, how they try to get you into the corruption.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, no, I'm just making sure the listeners do. Alfred, I've got to get you on more often. We've got a long segment coming up and a couple more after that. And then we've got a surprise guest in studio scheduled. But when we come back from break here in an 18-minute segment, I want to get into some of the outrages of these crooks and why you say they're illegitimate. Let's start rolling now. I mean, start.
Okay, you want me to start talking now? Okay.
No, I mean, what woke you up just briefly before we go to break?
Oh, I went through a divorce in 1983. I was as fat, dumb, and happy as anybody else, and I went through a divorce, suffered injustice. One thing led to another, and I became a student of the legal system, and that's what really precipitated this and got this going. I never quit, you know, and just keep on and keep on. I made a comment on the 60 Minutes program that it's un-American to trust the government. A lot of people would find that remarkable.
No, that's true. Stay there. We're going to come back with that. We're going to come back right there. Stay there. We're going to have the floor when we come back. Definitely have this guy back. I've listened to him on the radio off and on for years, always meant to get him on, and we've got him on now. Alfred Adask. It's adask.wordpress.com, adask.wordpress.com. Our sites, of course, are infowars.com and prisonplanet.tv. We'll be right back with Alfred. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Cultures go through cycles, and we are in a very deep cycle of decadence and corruption, mixed with nuclear weapons, bioweapons, high-tech surveillance, television brainwashing. We're all living an experiment here. And as we went to break, Alfred Adask was making the point that his maxim is, it is American to not trust your government. Well, that is as American as apple pie, but that's alien to some new listeners. That shows how domesticated many of us have become. Alfred, please continue repeating what you said. You have the floor.
You look at, I mean, the genius of the American Constitution, and there's things to complain about it and maybe some flaws, but as originally drafted, the genius is that it's an anti-government document. The reason we have separation of powers is so the three branches of governments fight amongst each other and don't fight with us. The reason we have the right to keep and bear arms is to protect us against the government. The reason for freedom of speech and freedom of the press is not so we can read gossip about what they're doing on the New Housewives of New York or some damn thing. It's about telling people what someone saw in the government. Somebody saw something, the government's doing something wrong. Talk about it. It's intended, every bit of that. The reason we have elections every 2 years. If we really trusted the government, why don't we just elect these guys one time and they stay there until they die? It's because we give them 2 years at the max, at least at Congress. And you better watch your step or we'll throw you out. Every bit of that Congress, every bit of the Constitution was designed to protect us from government. They recognized it's a necessary evil, but they did not trust the government. Let me read a section here from the, there's a preamble to the Bill of Rights. And it explains the purpose of the Bill of Rights. And you can look this up on the internet. It's not usually published, but you can find it. You can go to the internet and just enter preamble to the Bill of Rights. And you'll get this. And it's only, I don't know, 50, 100 words, something like that. It says, resolved by the Senate. It says, the conventions of a number of states having at the time they're adopting a constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction, abuse of its powers, meaning the powers of the Constitution, that further restrictive and declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. Those declaratory and restrictive clauses are the first 10 amendments. Their purpose is to prevent abuse of the Constitution. Who could abuse the Constitution except federal officers, officials, and employees? The only people who can abuse the powers of the Constitution are the people who have them to exercise. And that tells us that the purpose of the first 10 amendments was to protect the people of the states against the federal government. They didn't trust the government as far as they could throw it. They said, we got to have one, but we don't trust the SOBs. And what's the reason for the second amendment? To protect us against the federal government. It says so by implication right there in the preamble to the preamble to the Bill of Rights. And it's what I tried to talk about on that 60 Minutes interview. And they brought me in because I said, the purpose of the Second Amendment is to shoot people in the government. And I said, yeah, and here's why. But it's not intended to be a license just go out and start shooting cops and judges and whatever. It is the means of protecting yourself from despotism. If and when the government becomes despotic and tyrannical, it's like it says in the Declaration of Independence, it's your right, it's your duty to throw off that government. The Second Amendment is the means to throw off that government. If the government becomes despotic, Second Amendment kicks in. It doesn't mean you go shoot every cop you can find. That's never been my point. But the point is, if they are despotic, Second Amendment.
And like it or not, I was sent the internal FEMA footage from Kansas City in 2000, where FEMA gets up in front of cops and firemen and teaches them the Founding Fathers were terrorists, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence is an evil document. They are openly saying in some of these federal documents we've gotten that those that make frequent references to the U.S. Constitution. Well, the cops have sworn an oath to that, and now we have the Indiana Supreme Court. I don't know if you saw that ruling, but the lead judge said cops can come in for any reason or no reason at all. There is no Fourth Amendment. This is open despotism. This is open evil. And the police more and more are caught just pulling people over, stealing cash out of their wallets. You heard me run through that raft earlier. And now on the TSA website, Blogger Bob, the official voice of them, says that Texas, it doesn't matter what you say, we have Article 6, Clause 2, prevent states from regulating the federal government. I mean, that is on its head, claiming that the Commerce Clause, the Supremacy Clause, gives them all this power, only in the issuance of currency, only in the Navy, and only in protecting the borders. I mean, why even have states if they're so busy? I mean, look at till 1913, the state legislatures voted and picked the U.S. senators. That shows the power of the states. They ran the Senate. They ran the veto. And now they're telling us states have no power. We will stick our hands down your pants, and we don't care if the state of Texas unanimously votes, in one of the houses to say, don't stick your hands down people's pants. Well, that's already illegal. And the feds laugh and giggle on a blog about it.
Well, there's reason to believe that what passes for state government right now may not be state government.
Yeah, 1933 war powers. Yeah.
It may be a territorial government, and under Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2 of the Federal Constitution, the Congress has exclusive legislative jurisdiction over the territories. I strongly suspect, I can't prove it, but I strongly suspect that what passes for Texas today, they presume it to be a territory rather than the State of the Union. Part of the reason for that, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, it says in part, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. Now, how does the government of the state of Texas function without gold and silver? The Constitution has never been amended to eliminate that clause. And it doesn't apply to territories, and it doesn't apply to federal government.
It's a territorial script.
Yeah, that's right. And they have, by taking the gold and silver out of circulation, I think what they've done is they've rendered the de jure government of the State of the Union, I think they've rendered them insolvent and unfunctional.
Well, no, what you said is true.
They replaced them with some sort of a territorial setup.
No, they created the state police in 1933 under federal auspices. They went and financed it basically as part of the federal receivership, and they took territorial law that had already been perfected out west and exported it as the federal model. It's not just your theory. I've read in the federal rulings where they talk about force majeure, force de jure, admiralty law. This is how they're operating. It's how the cops seize cash out of your wallet when no drugs or no arrest is made. They're operating under the federal mandates as state police, as part of their agreements with the feds to get 80% receivership back of the money if they go through the feds and not the state. Now they're operating under admiralty.
Yeah, the world
we'll continue.
Let me give you, here is a cause dear to my heart. I was sued by the Attorney General of the State of Texas for $25,000 a day. That's $9 million a year for the manufacture and distribution of a controlled substance. It's not cocaine or methamphetamine or any of that. I was fiduciary for a trust that leased some equipment, just tables and chairs, to a corporation that was manufacturing colloidal silver. All right? They brought me in as the last of seven defendants. The case started in 2001, lasted until 2007. I was the last one added. first three defendants hired attorneys. They paid them $160,000 for defense. All they did is drive them into bankruptcy. First three defendants went into bankruptcy. Two of them, husband and wife, divorced, split, they're gone. I got involved in this and read the relevant drug laws because that's what we're charged under. And under the Texas Health and Safety Code, Section 431.002, subparagraph 14, it says drug means, articles recognized in the official United States Pharmacopoeia, yada, 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 articles intended or designed for use in the diagnosis, cure, mitigation, treatment, or prevention of disease in man or other animals. And the first time I saw man or other animals, I thought, why the damn fools, they don't even know what they're writing. The phrase means they presume man to be an animal.
No, that's an inside joke by them. But let me expand on that. They put last year in the Food Safety Act, written by Big Pharma, they gave $17 million in just a one-week period, written by Big Pharma and Big Agribusiness to shut down local farms and ranches, Codex Alimentarius, that entire European Union, EU Act, would be implemented, and luckily it's been defeated so far. But Europe has now implemented, and you can pull up the headlines, hundreds of herbal remedies, vitamins banned from over-the-counter sale. And so, yes, they are saying that under this, they've had SWAT teams raid aloe vera farms.
That's exactly right.
These people are mafia. It's very simple.
We found it in 23 separate laws at the state and federal level that applied directly to our case. I realized the significance. You can't declare me to be an animal because my Bible says at Genesis 1, 26 through 28, on the sixth day, God created man in his image and gave man dominion over the animals. As a Christian or a Jew and probably even as a Muslim, the government can't declare us to be animals without violating our freedom of religion. I made a religious freedom defense. I created a religious freedom defense to this case that the attorney general had spent almost $500,000 on in 6 years. And I drafted a religious freedom defense to this, and I said, you can't call me an animal. Your law doesn't apply to me. And they dropped the case.
Let me stop you. Feds win 98% of the time now because they have special kept juries. How did Alfred Adask defeat these demons?
Well, we advanced because here's the point. This law, this definition that defines man to be an animal, and the drug law, it's also found in the definition of medical devices. It means, just thinking about drugs, the war on drugs is based on the presumption that the people are animals. The war on drugs started by Nixon in 1971, gave rise to most of the modern police state.
And what do they say in The Godfather, which is a globalist love it because everything's a message. The mafia is sitting around and they go, we're going to start bringing narcotics in. Don Corleone hadn't let us do this. And Don Corleone says, I'll lose all my judges and police. They'll deal with hookers and alcohol because they like that, but they don't like heroin and cocaine. Yeah. And the mob boss says, only have it in the colored areas. They're animals. Let them lose their souls. And when you get into globalist doctrine, they believe we're all animals and dumb.
That's exactly right.
It's social Darwinism. We deserve this. So they're saying, and you mentioned this is in federal states. I've seen it as well. Read it again. We are animals, they're saying.
Man or other animals. We found 23 separate instances that applied to our case. Laws at both the Texas level and federal level. We found it in five other states where we looked. I presume it to be true in all 50 states, or at least the vast majority of them. Last night, I got an email from someone in Australia who's been visiting the website, and he's seen the articles I have on man or other animals, and he's looked at the Australian law. The Australian drug law also defines the people to be animals, which tells me that this business of presuming the people to be animals is not confined to the United States.
No, it's not. It's a legal fiction that they've created that they then run everything through, then we through contract fraud. Explain that to people. We sign on. We now agree as indentured servants. A lot of my family came here as slaves, white slaves. They were indentured servants, 7-year, 14-year deals, whatever they signed on to. You come here, and then they make you buy everything through the contract from the company store. They have a strong man that keeps you under their control. You never basically get off the plantation. In fact, many historians broke down that white slaves or indentured servants were worse off than blacks because the small 2% that owned slaves that were black wanted to take care of their property. But white slaves were even worse than that.
Yeah, I understand. This issue is powerful because For example, our Declaration of Independence, principles this country is built on. Second sentence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those rights only attach to men and women made in God's image. They don't attach to animals. Third sentence of the Declaration says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of government. When they say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, they're telling us that in the vision of the founding fathers, the principal reason for government was to secure to every man, woman, and even unborn child those God-given unalienable rights which attach at the moment of your creation, not your birth. Under the Declaration of Independence principles, if you're recognized to be a man, a woman, or even an unborn child made in God's image, they can't abort you. You become the master. If you are endowed by God, that's the foundation for sovereignty.
That's why they changed. That's why they changed the definition to fetus. That's why Frank Herbert's book, uh-huh, this globalist philosophy, is that the secret cult group then puts you through a ritual to decide if you're a human. They see everyone else as animals. That's what Albert Pike wrote, that most people are animals, steak on the table to be eaten. This is really Illuminati philosophy.
Absolutely. And this is important, powerful stuff. Again, if this goes out and people understand it, the reason they dropped this is it's political dynamite. The police state is built in large measure on the drug laws. The drug laws are built on the presumption that the people are animals. They can't stand in front of a jury and tell them, we think you're all a bunch of animals. They can't tell them that. If you can draft a religious freedom defense against these people, they have to back off. Because if this goes public and you get a case like this that goes all the way to the Supreme Court and they have to admit that the people aren't animals, well, they lose the war on drugs. They lose much of the police state. They lose the prison industrial complex. All right. And of course, big pharmaceuticals are built on this.
By the way,
this
Alfred, what you've said.
Story.
Earlier, I interrupted. Go back to the fact that us not being animals made in the image of a creator, people don't believe in that or not. The point is that's the law system. That's the precedent, is that we're made in the image of God. We are the sovereigns on this planet. So the elite can't be above us. We have inalienable, basic, organic, galactic rights.
Well, that's exactly right. See, what people don't understand about sovereignty, the reason the king of France was sovereign was because he alone had the divine right of kings. He became king in a church ceremony. He got his rights directly from God.
Coronated.
All the rest were subjects because they did not get their rights directly from God. In our country, when it started out, it started with an incredible, a profound concept. They said, no, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men, not just the kings, the individual kings of England and France and Spain and so on, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. With that statement, they made each of us an individual sovereign. It's borne out in Chisholm versus Georgia, 1793, Supreme Court of the United States declared this is to be a nation of sovereigns. Without subjects.
Well, this is the fight.
God. That makes the government our servant. If you and I are sovereigns, the government is our public servant. If you and I are animals, the government is our master.
And notice they don't use terms like public servant or peace officer. It's law enforcement. It's official. It's authority. This is just nothing but modern slavery where they are above the law. They don't pay taxes. They do whatever they want and don't follow our original just laws. And then they make unjust laws for us. This is the essence of tyranny.
They say we have to obey their law, but they don't have to obey our law. And again, the hierarchy is God's law, number one. We, the people, our law, number two. And that's the constitutions of the states and the federal government. And finally, we have the government's law. That's number three. They say we're always subject to that, but they don't want to be subject to the people's law. This is this is cause for a shooting revolution if they're not careful. If this goes badly, we're going to have an American spring rather than an Arab spring.
Alfred Adass, let's talk about. There must be some kind of way out of here. I'm going to have to get Alfred Adass back on very soon. I've heard his show off and on over the years, read Annie Shyster. Even one time, I think I wrote an article, got published in it, I can't remember. The point is that he's been around for a long time fighting tyranny. We got him for 5 minutes in the next hour. Then our surprise guest is going to be here any moment now. with some very good news for everybody. So stay with us for that into the fourth hour of Overdrive. If your local AM or FM doesn't carry it, InfoWars.com. First, I want to tell you about the National Inflation Association. For two-thirds of Americans getting ready to retire, Social Security will be more than 50% of their income. And for 22% of upcoming retirees, Social Security will be their only income. With massive inflation wipes out the purchasing power of American Social Security payments, retirement in America will become a thing of the past. And we will see millions of retired senior citizens re-enter the workforce, combined with the millions of government workers who will soon need to find new jobs when the dollar becomes worthless and the government goes bust. It will be nearly impossible for upcoming college graduates to find a job in the U.S. Go to inflation.us and click on the videos tab to see the breakthrough documentary film, The College Conspiracy. Again, that's inflation.us to watch the film today. Now, continuing with Alfred Adask. Alfred, we are at a crossroads. The quickening's here. The system is trying to break our will. And we've seen police chiefs in New Jersey and Maryland say, in public statements, get out there, break their will, wear black masks, scare them. You know, Fox News headline, police chief admits they want to scare us. The TSA, first take your shoes off, answer questions. Now we're going to squeeze your genitals on the outside. Now we're going to go inside. We're not going to change our gloves. I mean, they know that if they can get away with that, they're desperately trying to break our will and train us to basically be prisoners.
I agree. They're trying to, and that's exactly the point then, is you can't allow that to happen. The most important thing is you can't succumb to fear. They're trying to scare us, but here's the truth. The police are outnumbered about 300 to 1 in this country. It's only about 0.3% of the population that are police officers. Same thing with the military, about 0.3% of the population thereabouts. I mean, even if they brought all the military back and they combined them with all the police, they're still technically outnumbered by at least 100 to 1 on the basis of adults.
And what's happening is they're running around trying to get everybody to be spies for them. Spies, we're not hiding. We know who the crooks are. And the average cops that I talk to are waking up. The military's waking up.
Sure. You know, and on one level, this is not an us against them, meaning us against the police. The police are standing on the breach on this thing, and they need to make up their mind, who do they serve and protect? They've got that motto, we serve and protect. But do they serve and protect the government, or do they serve and protect the people of the United States? They'd better understand that the government regards them as nothing but disposable, cattle.
They're Kissinger wrote a book and called our troops dumb animals.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And they will dispose of them fighting with us. The police really have a lot more in common with the people than they do with their employer. And certainly they can't afford to go to war with the people. You can't pick a war where you're outnumbered 100 to 1. You can't do that. You're not going to win this. And I don't care what kind of weapons you got, you can't do it. 100 to 1, bring your best weapon, we'll bring our bricks. You understand? Here comes 100 bricks coming at you.
Well, I've seen that with Vietnam, Afghanistan, anywhere. And the biggest contributors of the military in 2008 were the military to Ron Paul. But at the same time, the system does need to know they're in the wrong. We need to quit licking their boots and being afraid to call them out, because the police everywhere are violating the Bill of Rights and Constitution. They are enforcing stuff that isn't law.
I agree. And it's part of the reason why the object is not simply to go out and get yourself a firearm or a dozen firearms and a bunch of bullets. You have to understand the reasons for a rational application of force. You've got to pick up and understand the fundamentals out of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Say, wait a second. These are principles. We're not talking about just picking up a gun and shooting out the window.
Stay there.
You must have reason.
That's what Indiana just said. We can do whatever we want to you. You can't resist.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Alfred Adask of adask.wordpress.com is our guest for another 5 minutes, and we have our surprise guest in studio with some very positive news. But going back to that Indiana ruling, because that's exactly where Alfred was going, they said in the case, if a cop has no reason at all to want to bust in your house without a warrant, they have a right to, and you can't even resist because the guy reportedly pushed the cop, so they charged him with assaulting the cop. But that goes back to Magna Carta 1215. The man's home is his castle. It's our government. We create the state. We create the federal government. Then we elect judges. You have to go with evidence to them, where you're going, what you're going to search. You got to have a witness who people later have a right to confront, or the cops don't get the warrant. Now, you can't resist the warrant because it's a warrant of the people and the people's will. But the idea that they can just come and do whatever they want. Indiana also just ruled no-knock warrants for unpaid parking tickets. So it's all about terror and terrorizing. It's on. Alfred Adask, in summation.
You just mentioned a man's home is his castle. But animals don't have any homes, and they certainly don't have any castles. Insofar as the government presumes you to be an animal, insofar as their laws say that, you're just livestock on the global plantation. And they can handle you like a chicken in a Tyson poultry processing plant. And clip your little beak off and keep you jammed in with the rest of the chickens. When it's time to harvest, they'll harvest you if you're an animal.
And they say in all their writings, if you let them do it, you are an animal.
Yeah. That's what it is. I understand. I don't know how much time we have left, but where this goes is if you go to a business, there's a place called genocidewatch.org, and they have a document up there that's entitled 8 Stages of Genocide. And the third stage in genocide, to commit genocide, it's not necessary that you kill anyone. It's only necessary under the genocide law that you create circumstances where a particular group or race or whatever is more likely to die. And the third stage in the genocide law is dehumanization. And they specifically say when they reduce people to the status of animals, insect, or vermin, it's an act of genocide. For example, when the Hutus decide to kill all the Tutsis, the first thing they do is say the Tutsis are all a bunch of animals. And when they're animals, you can kill them all. You can kill the women. You can kill the children. You can kill the non-combatants. You can exterminate them like a nest of wasps. Because they are animals.
That's what the Nazis said. If you go back to the Israelites.
Untermenschen.
The Israelites 3,000 years ago went into areas and said, these people are animals.
Our government, by that definition, you apply the facts of the drug laws, the medical device laws. This goes back as far as 1906 that I've been able to find in the Food and Drug Act of 1906. That's where this started out. They presume the people to be animals. You apply those facts to the law of genocide, and you conclude that the government of the United States right now is committing genocide against the American people. Technically, they are guilty of genocide. To me, that's a pretty big story. And there's evidence. I mean, if you can lay this out and show people, here's what we got. You make up your mind. Don't believe me. I'll show you the law. You make up your mind.
Well, you know, Alfred Adask, I've always known this and briefly talked about it here and there, but the way you codify it is so powerful. And mm-hmm. as you're speaking, I think of thousands of examples of where this is in universal law through every culture. The priest class of the Aztecs, when they were chopping mm-hmm. people's hearts out, said that these are animals, we're gods. Mm-hmm. It's more than that. Not just we're men, you're animals. We're gods, you're animals. And this is the New World Order religion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is powerful stuff. It's not just a curiosity. It goes to something that is fundamental that's been going on for thousands of years. Are you animals or are you men and women made in God's image?
Are we men or mice?
That's exactly what it comes down to. If you're mice, you can be slaughtered, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be.
Well, I'm not a slave. We're not your slaves, as I've always said, and they're trying to train us to be slaves and turn us into gibbering idiots. Hooked into all their propaganda. Incredible interview, Alfred Adask. We're going to let you go. That we will interview you very soon, my friend. And be safe. I know why they're so scared of you and have 60 Minutes coming after you and others. You are definitely a force to be reckoned with. I salute you. We'll be right back. Thank you, sir.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, Dr. Paul Conant is here, and he's got another local doctor who's with the group fighting the fluoridation of water here with him. And I know you've been in Australia, New Zealand, other parts of Europe, here in the U.S. traveling all over the place. And since you were here in town, we wanted to get you in studio with us for a couple segments. Then we're going to do another interview in our new studio. Dr. Paul Connett is a PhD from Dartmouth College and joined the faculty at St. Lawrence University in 83. Connett's opposition to the way they're handling the solid waste, basically fluoride, and dumping it in our water has gotten international attention. The website's fluoridealert.org. And he's here in Austin, Texas tonight, speaking with the city council and others. He also is going to be speaking tonight at 7 p.m. at 1904 Guadalupe Street and City Hall Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then there's another little factoid here. 10% of children in 1940 had dental fluorosis. 45% of kids have it now. And since you were last in studio with us, I have a few very exciting, positive things to talk about that I want you to address. EPA proposes phase out of fluoride-based pesticide, and they admit it bioaccumulates and attacks all the organs in the body. Yeah. That just came out a few months ago. On the same day, U.S. wants to reduce fluoride in drinking water from 1.2 to 0.7 parts per million, and they're admitting an increase of dental fluorosis, bone cancer, all of this. But I wonder, when you speak to the city council this time, will they laugh at you? Because they don't do any research. They don't have any facts. They just pay $1 million of taxpayer money every year to get a toxic waste that they'd have to store somewhere. Why not just put it in our water and give us bone cancer and laugh at us? Because we're animals after all, Dr. Connett.
Well, unfortunately, what happens with these councils is they will defer to their local health officer. And without realizing the local health officer with the issue of fluoridation is simply a mouthpiece, a clockwork toy, if you like, for federal policy. Once the U.S. Public Health Service endorsed fluoridation, a lot of things ensued. Today, we have the Center of Disease Control telling everybody that fluoridation is the best thing since sliced bread. It's one of the top 10 public health achievements of the 20th century. And quite frankly, the people in the middle of these bureaucracies, in the chain of command, if they were to come out against this policy, they would be out of work tomorrow. That's what you got to remember. They're out of work if they don't support policy. They are trained, bureaucrats are trained not to question policy. Their job is to promote policy. And that's unfortunately the... So when you have counselors who don't have medical degrees, scientific degrees, or dental degrees, they have to choose between these group of concerned citizens and their health officer. And unfortunately, they appear to be siding with the health officer, even though he doesn't have the science to support his case.
And that person's a politician, too. The big chemical lobbies want us to pay for their toxic waste. It, of course, has the degenerative and population reduction qualities of infertility and IQ reduction that the eugenicists favor. But getting into the pure science, what do you make of all these big moves by the government quietly to start reducing the amount of fluoride?
Well, two things happened in January the 7th. The one you heard about was that the Department of Health and Human Services was lowering the standard to 0.7, the amount recommended to fight tooth decay. A few days later, we heard that the EPA pesticide division had withdrawn its support for sulfuryl fluoride. That was been an eight-year battle from the Fluoride Action Network. We've been fighting that. It was clear from the very beginning that they didn't have a leg to stand on because kids were already being overexposed to fluoride. So whatever reference dose, so-called safe dose, that you can come up with, children were already exceeding it. So there's no way that the EPA legally could have permitted sulfuryl fluoride. But the pesticide division and the water division working together had two choices. Were they going to pull the rug out of Dow AgroSciences and their use of sulfuryl fluoride, or were they going to pull the rug away from the water fluoridation program? Because the major source of fluoride, which is exceeding the safe limits and preventing sulfuryl fluoride from being used, is water fluoridation. So if they pull the rug from underneath the water fluoridation program, Dow AgroSciences could have continued to use sulfuryl fluoride. But they didn't do that. They pulled the rug from out from under Dow and continued to support fluoridation. So when you got the statement from the EPA Office of Water the death sentence was, we are going to protect children's health, at the same time protect children's teeth. And that's a way of telling you that they're not going to do honest science here. And they're clearly they're not doing honest science because they haven't considered the 24 IQ studies. Since I was in the studio, there's been an update on one study and a new study indicating at low levels of fluoride, children's IQ is being lowered in China. So they're ignoring all that. So they are saying, Alex, they are saying that the most sensitive endpoint of fluoride's toxicity is severe dental fluorosis. And they claim to be able to protect against that. They didn't use a margin of safety in their calculations. It was incredible. The whole thing is incredible.
But the fact is the stone wall, the Berlin Wall, is cracking.
Yes.
They're having to respond. What about saying don't use it as a pesticide? Because from my research, that's where it really is building up.
Yeah, with this, they were allowing incredible levels of fluoride residues. The trouble with sulfurfluoride is that when you use it on food to protect food, you leave residues of fluoride, and that's what got them. And the levels that they were permitting, like 125 parts per million in wheat flour. Well, think of all the things you make from wheat flour, pizza dough, biscuits, cookies, cakes, bread. I mean, 125 parts per million? We could have kids vomiting.
Just a few parts per million is reducing IQs. I mean, no wonder. I talked to a lot of professors that have been teaching a long time, and they say people are not as sharp as they were even 20, 30 years ago. And it's because we've got brain-damaged zombies.
We also have television. No insult to you. I mean, commercial television.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, that's dumbing down the people. So, no, we've had some tremendous victories. Canada is a place where things are happening. I think it's a race between Canada, New Zealand, and Ireland. I was in Dublin just a few days ago. I think it's a race between those three countries as to which country cracks first.
Because they don't want to be lobotomized, but the big chemical industry is pushing. Give us a survey of your travels around the world.
Okay, well, let's start with Canada, where we launched the book in Toronto. We've got the two wings of Canada essentially fluoride-free. British Columbia and Quebec are essentially fluoride-free. We had a major victory in October when Waterloo, about 500,000 or 600,000 people voted out fluoridation by a tight whisker, but it was very important. And then just a few days ago, the final ratification that Calgary in Alberta has stopped fluoridation. It's finished. As of May 19th, it's out.
So the hoax is imploding. Lago Vista outside Austin, I was reading, is moving to not have it.
Yeah.
San Diego has put a hold on putting it in, correct?
I'm not sure about San Diego. They had gone ahead. The government had gone ahead despite enormous protests. I was there in San Diego, again, launching the book.
Last time I saw, just a few, like a month ago, there was a hold, but perhaps that's been overturned.
Well, what happened was that the Commission 5, I think they're called, this tobacco tax money, is being used to finance the operations of fluoridation in California. So when a committee, they can't put fluoride in the water unless they've got a private source of funding. And so this Commission 5, the tobacco money, which actually is tax money, so that was illegal, but they're using this tobacco 5 money to, Commission 5 money to...
Because they care so much about our teeth.
But they've cut back, or they've had a cutback on their funding of all kinds of programs, but guess which one was not cut back? Fluoridation. So they cut back on all kinds of clinics and other important things that they were supporting, but apparently they've left the fluoridation, but maybe not in San Diego.
But as you were saying, all over the world we're seeing major headway.
Oh, absolutely. I've just been, as you said, in Australia and New Zealand. The responses from the audiences compared to last time is huge. Double, triple the audiences, incredible amount of enthusiasm, organization. Fan New Zealand is making great strides. We had very good meetings, council meetings, where both sides were heard at length. So I've got my fingers crossed in particularly New Zealand and Canada.
What does it signify, though, that they're, they stonewalled, and I know I've gone back to this twice, but the fact that they're now having to back up and say, okay, we're going to stop using it for pesticide, we're going to cut it in the water. I mean, that's got to add a lot of weight for people like you and other doctors when they go before city councils and they smirk and laugh. Well, why are they cutting the levels then?
That's right. Well, they can't deny that American children are overexposed to fluoride. This is what they said. 41% of children aged 12 to 15 have some form of dental fluorosis. 41%. And that's all American kids. That's an average of kids living in non-fluoridated and fluoridated. So the kids in the fluoridated communities are probably over 50% now have dental fluorosis. And remember, when they started this in 1945, they thought just 10% of children would have dental fluorosis in its very mild form. Now we have 3.6% of American children with either moderate or severe dental fluorosis. That's 100% of the tooth enamel discolored and indented and in the severe form made brittle.
And imagine what it's doing to the bones.
And imagine what it's doing to the brains. I mean, this has been the whole point. You know, to add absurdity on absurdity, fluoridation should have ended in 1999 when the Center for Disease Control conceded that the major benefit of fluoride is topical. My goodness, it works on the outside of the tooth, not from inside the body. Why on earth, once you know that, are you forcing it on people that don't want it, when anybody can get fluoridated toothpaste if they want it? It's universally available. It's difficult to get non-fluoridated toothpaste. Why force it on people that don't want it? And why expose every tissue in the body if this stuff works topically?
Well, that's, I've made the joke, but it's not funny. That'd be like drinking sunscreen instead of putting it on your skin.
Absolutely.
Dr. Conant, let's talk about what you think is most important in this final quick segment on the other side. So glad to have you here in town speaking at Brave New Books tonight. Folks, Dr. Conant pointed out that, you know, they're trying to crucify Dr. Andrew Wakefield with just cooked up baloney that he lied about there being an autism link to thimerosal mercury, when all these other separate institutions have found the same thing. And now he's learned that government institutions learned it before he even did, separately. So he's not engaged in fraud. They just say it. The moon is made of cheese. Andrew Wakefield's a fraud. Well, Dr. Conant just pointed out vaccine autism research, Paul Thorson, indicted for fraud for $2 million sent by the U.S. government to basically come out and say thimerosal isn't bad for you. That was the research we've played where they say mercury's good for kids, contrary to what we thought. And it turns out he just took the money for the research, didn't do it, and just told them what they wanted. And now he's been indicted. Vaccine autism researcher Paul Thorson indicted for fraud. But no discussion of Andrew Wakefield. And then I was just showing you HEB water, but every brand has it. I mean, you go to stores in the water section, it's for your baby, for your school children. You need purified water, and there's a heart on it, so it must be good for the baby. And according to the studies I've seen, doctor, the fluoride has an even bigger effect on small children.
Yeah. I mean, this is absurd. It says purified water with fluoride added. It's unbelievable to me, and this is almost a criminal act. We know that the original idea that you have to give fluoride to babies because it accumulates, supposed to accumulate in the enamel before their teeth have erupted. In 1999, the Center for Disease Control came back and said, whoops, we were wrong. Not enough fluoride is accumulating in the enamel to protect them when they finally erupt in the mouth. The main benefits are topical after the tooth have erupted. But what we also know is, so whilst this is not going to do your baby's teeth any good, it's going to do them harm because it's the first year of life which is most sensitive in terms of developing this dental fluorosis. That's what they've said. The ADA actually sent out an e-gram to their members saying to recommend to parents not to use fluoridated water to make up baby formula. So the ADA is saying don't do it. And then the CDC followed up some with some mealy mouth. When they make these statements, they're always very careful to try to not undermine the fluoridation program.
Well, was it 6 years ago that the American Dental Association came out and said under fives, don't use fluoride toothpaste?
Yeah, yeah. And on the back of a tube of toothpaste, it says keep out of the reach of children under six.
But you can tell the city council that they're just going to laugh and say, hey, we can get Formula One racing if they're brain damaged.
Yeah.
Get it through.
This is terrible. This is terrible. And parents are not being warned. nor are black families being warned that black children are more sensitive than white children to developing dental fluorosis.
Oh.
And by the same token, and Hispanic children. This is what they show, that the rates of dental fluorosis amongst black children and Hispanic children is higher than white children in a given community.
But the NAACP and LULAC and all them are funded by Dow Chemical and others. I've seen it listed. So they're going to tell them, you fight the evil white man, you take more fluoride.
But, you know, the good news on that front is that we've had two major leaders, black leaders in Atlanta, Andrew Young, who's a former ambassador of the United Nations, whose father was a dentist, was previously pro-fluoridation. When he heard these facts that blacks are unduly risky, have greater risk than white children from at least dental fluorosis and probably other health effects, he's come out against it, made a public statement calling for Georgia to stop having mandatory fluoridation. And then a few days ago, Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter, Beatrice, came out against fluoridation. So this is a major development in the black community.
And there's so much other good news you've got. We're going to go to a taped interview that'll be on PrisonPlanet.tv later in a few days. And I'm glad that you liked the last taped interview we did.
Your staff did a great job. It's the best 60 minutes with me articulating on television. It's the very best.
Well, we're going to do another update for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, and then it'll be sent out to the four winds from there. And I want to thank everybody that supports PrisonPlanet.tv. Also, in the fight against water fluoridation, we've put out these new T-shirts that expose some of the facts. It's got a droplet of water on the front with a skull in it. On the back, it says an industrial waste added to the drinking water by our government for the purpose of medication. More toxic than lead, the active ingredient in many pesticides linked to increases in bone cancer, brain damage, and lower IQs. All facts, correct, Doctor?
Yep.
And we hope people get the T-shirt at InfoWars.com. And when people see you wearing it, they'll say, what's that about? And you can educate somebody. Resistance is not futile. No army can stop an idea whose time has come. We're fighting on so many fronts. And Dr. Paul Connett of fluoridealert.org with the new book, may I please see it?
Yep, The Case Against Fluoride.
Absolutely, The Case Against Fluoride, available on Amazon.com and better bookstores. Dr. Paul Connett, PhD, toxicologist, we appreciate you coming in. And we're going to go do another interview with you now.
Alex, you mentioned a T-shirt there. I can't resist. You know, my other issue is waste management. And we just made a T-shirt in Italy. The Italians have made it my slogan, new slogan.
We're out of time. We'll have to do it in the tape.
Make love.
We're on the march.
Make love, not waste. All right, great.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.